Okay, Joel Radio back with you. How you doing? It's Joel. Corey is over there.
Howdy.
And we're joined. John Tenney is joining us back again.
Love the music. Always do. Love the music.
Paranormal investigator, lecturer, podcaster. What, I don't know what else you do.
Former mayoral candidate.
Yeah.
Open mic comedy
musician,
night winner.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, we'll talk about your open mic comedy experience.
Punk rock rockin' tour.
Yeah, that's true. I forget.
Publisher.
You know? Yeah. Noted
cocksmith.
You know, you eat too many things and he sounds like a failure at all these things. That's the problem.
That's
I want to
true.
Make it
true.
Successful.
World renowned failure.
kid show producer.
I failed at more things
yeah.
than most people have even
okay.
thought about trying to do.
Okay. That's right.
John will tell us about all those failures. And more today.
Joel Radio. Thank you, John. All right. Well, let's get into the show, everybody, because...
how many projects has John abandoned since we had him on last?
I don't know.
Five or six.
It's been, yeah. John's been on the show, but he's always got something to plug, and I'm sure he does today as well.
This is actually my downtime of the year. I finished my last lecture a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Indianapolis. And,
well, you did Halloween. I'm guessing that's the big time.
Yeah, October's
October.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then I had a lecture in Virginia, a lecture in Indianapolis, and then I'm done.
Okay.
You're not doing the Santa Claus. Is he real?
No.
You're not doing that?
I have one more lecture.
You guys don't go outside and look for him? You know?
One more lecture in December in Mount Clemens, and that's an end-of-the-world lecture.
Yeah, because that Mayan date
whole
is coming
2012
up. 2012. Is it 12?
2012.
John's got
December 12th?
This year.
But it's
the 21st.
December 21st.
Yeah.
John's got chimney diagrams depicting, trying to figure out how big Santa Claus is. And like,
yeah, that could be something to investigate, sure. So anyway.
December 21st. Yeah, it's the end of the world. There
it's the
go.
End of the world. All right, well, that's, hey.
Not really, but
no.
A lot of people
but you know
make
what?
Money off of
I,
it.
I would be a little afraid on December 21st.
No,
is that right?
Not.
No?
No.
But what
not.
About a guy who thinks the world is ending, so he's going to go out in a blaze of glory and take down some
That's the one thing
That's
you
what
have
I'm saying I'm afraid
about.
Of. Yeah, I'm not afraid of supernatural things.
Right.
I'm afraid of some guy going, hey, the world's ending.
There are people who, for the past year, have been selling everything that they own.
Right. Yeah.
Breaking all ties with their community. Yeah. Stockpiling weapons. And when it doesn't happen... They're going to make something happen.
Yeah, that's what I think
but
we should fear.
Nobody did anything on 2000 on
the
Y2K.
The Y2K thing. Yeah,
guys were armed to the gills. They were stockpiled up. They were ready for Armageddon, and nothing happened.
Well, we were waiting for the power grid to melt down,
right?
Which happened several years later, having nothing to do with 9/11.
But
know
I think
mean?
That if you had a, I think this is the closest we during when it was Y2K, the internet didn't really exist yet.
Not
like it was
in its,
still
yeah,
in its
it
infancy.
Okay.
There
it
was no social, but there was no
like
social
wire.
But there was no social sites. Networking sites.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
Angel Fire. What was the
Angel Fire
right.
tripod?
There were. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But there was no Facebook. There was no real MySpace. Yeah. Friendster, I think, was just starting around.
Okay,
then.
Yeah.
You had AOL, and you had.
But
yeah, you
now
had
you've
AOL
got
chat.
People constantly feeding into that mentality of like
there
the
is,
world's
yeah,
ending, the world's ending, the world's
mentality.
Ending. You watch television, you can buy 100-gallon buckets of beans and like a 90-day food supply. Have you seen that? That's what Jim Baker does now.
Oh, well, there's a show called Doomsday Preppers that is on out of the National Geographic.
One of
it.
Those channels.
And it's all about guys who are preparing for the end of the world and building bunkers and hoarding food.
I saw one episode of that, and the girl there was a girl on there.
Yeah.
And she was like saving water in Ziploc bags.
Wow.
Good time.
And the guy who's hosting the show was like, this is not enough water.
That's the best part. Is there's a guy. What's great is there's a guy who rates it.
Oh, yeah?
There's a guy who's like.
Oh, I didn't realize. It's a competition?
We feel your dry food stocks are
Right. The shoes that she is wearing for the trek that she thinks that she will make are inappropriate.
Well, I'm
You're
here.
Going to need to reinforce that concrete in your bunker because it's not thick enough.
Look, I'm not prepared for next week. Like you know what I mean? I don't have enough. I don't have enough food to last me more than 4 days in this house on any given day. So I ain't prepared for shit. So
no, I'll tell you right now, you are.
In what way?
You know, you usually need about a week's worth of water for each person.
Okay.
If you're here in the house by yourself, you have a week's worth of water already stored.
You're saying city water supply.
You have a hot water heater.
Okay, so that tank.
You probably
have
30 or 40
oh,
gallons
okay.
of water.
All right, all
so
right.
already you're starting.
Oh, who knew?
I'm just giving you a little tip.
Well,
all your listeners now know there's water in the house.
Okay.
Well, and did you ever see The Road?
Yeah.
extraordinarily depressing movie.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But like, he fills the bathtub up.
Right.
When he knows the apocalypse is going down.
Right. Yeah.
They never tell you why in that movie.
That's just to drown yourself.
Yeah. No, that movie annoyed me because he's like, he looks out the window and he goes, oh shit, it's on.
Yeah.
And we never tell you why or what or, you know, exactly how the.
The one thing I liked about that movie was they never told you why.
Yeah. Well, they didn't tell you anything. Right.
That's one of those.
Corey and I will fist fight about that later.
No, no, it's just that, you know, I found that movie bleak and annoying, but because
I wasn't a big fan of
it. If that's it, if that's the apocalypse, good, I'm out. Good.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't need to be in that.
I'll be dead. That's there good. You go.
All right. So anyway, John, let's talk.
Fighting. I don't want to be fighting with. I don't want to be fighting with Hell Jacks over a can of fruit salad somewhere.
That happened on Black Friday.
Well, yeah the Black Friday people.
That's the road right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Friday. We just had Thanksgiving here in the States, and if you don't live in the States, I know some of our we have listeners overseas. They don't realize.
Right. Well, we had the Jew taking. Yeah, we did not have Thanksgiving.
No, that's
we had
right.
the Jews taking, and we took the Jews' money on the
but
property.
But they start this, and I actually believe that these stores are really at fault here. When it comes to Black Friday, this is where stores will say, if you come for 2 hours, only 2 hours, you come to the show, you'll get some product at like 80% off
right.
what it normally costs. And I blame the stores for this. And then people go in and they get, you know, people fist fight over things. Mm. And it's
over
insane.
Nonsense.
Well, yeah. Because they have a limited number. If they advertise.
Right. Yeah, they have a limited number.
They're like, you can get this Pioneer Blu-ray player for $32.
Yeah.
They've got four of them.
Right.
If that many, yeah. And then the first four people in get them, and then the next guy goes, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
People, I put on pants and everything.
People did die this year, right?
I don't know who
I think there
died.
Were a couple people that were trampled.
I saw there were fistfights at Victoria's Secret was giving away panties.
It's just unbelievable.
And there were fistfights. I saw that video at a mall somewhere. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But who do you blame for that? You can say, well, people, you know.
It's the stores,
it's
for sure.
It's the store. Absolutely, it's the store.
That's got to be the lamest death. If you died on Black Friday, that's got to be just like.
Right, because even if a guy dies at war, you go, well, he died fighting for our freedom.
I got stabbed at an Applebee's. What?
You can't find a stupider death. Even if a guy dies, you know.
I was at Best Buy.
Yeah.
And I was in line to get the Wii U.
It's not even that stuff, though. Yeah. They don't even get, nothing good is
right,
even
I saw
there.
One of the
it's
fights
like ABC
I saw
where, ABC Warehouse has like a waffle iron for $3.
I saw prepaid cell phones. That was a Walmart. I saw a video on that. So Victoria's Secret was giving away panties and there was a giant fist fight. And I'm like, well, panties? That's what the fist fight's about? It's unbelievable.
Right.
And
a
I
waffle
think
it, iron.
Yeah, it's un. I don't.
And when I went shopping at like 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Black Friday,
oh,
it was fine.
Oh, okay.
It was like over.
I didn't even
because it's all that first initial.
Yeah, that initial rush of.
I blame the stores for this moving the crap up. So now it's like Thursday night. That's ridiculous.
Well,
I mean, like, just
it's going to be ridiculous whenever you do it. Right. So I don't know. Maybe that makes it better for Friday. If you let all the maniacs go in there Thursday,
I guess,
you don't have
but you know, look at it this way: you're already, if you're working at a Walmart, you're already probably not real happy with your life.
Sure,
you're probably already, you know, you're getting shitty wages. You're working long hours. There's very little chance of moving up in the company.
Yeah,
they tell you there's a chance of moving up in the company, but a very small percentage of people advance in the ranks at Walmart. And that's why they put on propaganda like Undercover Boss to tell you how great it is to work at a place like Walmart.
Get to the point of
what,
Black
I'm getting
Friday.
To the point.
I love that. I love that in his older age.
Rant, yeah.
Right, I love in his older age, he's becoming the conspiracy theorist I call myself to be.
Okay, what is that show Undercover Boss about other than advertising?
It's about making a company seem like they're better than they are.
It's advertising
it's
for
whatever. It's humanizing faceless corporations to the public.
Now, once in a while, like when they went to Wrigley Field, that was interesting because you got to see like the guy changing the scoreboard at Wrigley Field, you know.
Right. Right.
But generally, it's like it's some garbage disposal firm or some
rallies.
Yeah,
I think
they go
rallies.
To rallies.
I've seen UPS. I think they had a guy. From
and
there.
Let's be honest, you're working at a rallies. You're probably not real happy with your job. Okay. And they come in and they go, well, let's sprinkle gifts like Santa Claus. So anyway, if you're working at Walmart, you're probably not happy. And then they go, hey, you got to come in at 2 o'clock to start stocking because, you know, forget this holiday for you. We're losing all. Look, I don't think Thanksgiving's the, you know.
Well, there's places that are open on Thanksgiving anyway. Restaurants are generally open.
I think I think I like Thanksgiving because it's not a particularly religious holiday.
When I worked at the movie theater, we were open every Thanksgiving. Open
but you know what?
Christmas,
I've also found, too, I had this discussion with my parents and perhaps your listeners can across the country. I don't know if it's like this across the country, but when I was a kid, all holidays, shit was shut down.
Yeah,
now
sometimes.
Everything's open. You can go and get something to eat on Thanksgiving. Again, you can go get something to eat on Christmas. There's restaurants open.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but ultimately, aren't you giving the people what they want? If these places wouldn't be open if they didn't, if it didn't make money for them, they'd be closed, wouldn't they?
Well, for sure. But I just think that there's a weird change where even on Sundays, normal Sunday when I was a kid, there was nothing open.
Well, but I think Sundays is bullshit. I think things should be open because that's when people are off and they can get stuff done.
If you go to Europe, which is, you know, the crazy liberal progressive communist socialist hellfire of extinction. If you go over there, if you try to go, and like if you're in Germany and you try and go to shop after 6 o'clock on a Sunday,
yes,
you're out of luck.
Right.
It's all shut down.
Canada's like that too, still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Windsor once and it was like, I think it was 5 or 6 on a Sunday. Stuff was closing.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Take a break.
It is. People say place opens at 7, 8.
Take a break.
Whatever. But I
what I find,
I would like it if everything was closed at 9 o'clock every day of the week, and on Sunday nothing was open at
all. But it's not going to fly to the American public. Like these stores need to be closed for the sake of the workers. Like that's kind of a weak argument because the workers need money ultimately, and that's what's going to win out. Is that if the workers can get extra hours, there's always going to be people willing to take those jobs.
But
I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying there are always going to be people that are willing to do
but
that.
But you're going to ultimately run out of calendar and time for that argument to work because now we're creeping into Thanksgiving, Christmas is next. There won't be any time off that they can tell people that they're getting extra money.
Well, if business is down,
they're just not going to get any.
But
time
the
off.
Point is, if business is down, they'll use less workers. It's
I don't think so. I think they'll just pay their workers less.
I don't know. When I worked on all the holidays, I think I got time and a half.
But I think that that's gone now. I think that's the whole
thing.
Like holidays, holidays aren't a big deal anymore. Right. And so I think they're figuring out ways of saying, like,
there's one thing to make them mandatory and to make them, but I don't believe that these businesses operate that way. I believe people probably, when they say, who wants to work on Thanksgiving, and if it is extra wages, I'm sure people fight over those.
Because they're not getting paid enough.
I understand
to begin with.
But again,
that's why they want the extra money.
You have a chicken and the egg situation, then, don't you? Where you have people demand, people want to shop. They clearly go out. They go to these stores when they're open. You know, the employees are there. They're not. No one's got a gun to their head. So
Well,
can if you want to change it, then you just stay out of it. You don't go to the store. You don't go to there. Take a job. Well, that's fine.
This really is an old man show.
He's the one who went to Black Friday, John Tenney.
This really did turn into an old man show at some point, didn't it? I haven't listened for a couple months.
Yeah, hold on. Plug me in. I gotta play boobies or something.
I get
some drops. Let's talk about cocks and bowls.
All right. Well, anyway, John is here. Bigfoot. I want to talk about that. Anything else for Thanksgiving? Did everyone have a good Thanksgiving, or are we over that too?
Well, here I am defending the poor put-upon workers of the world, which I will.
Okay.
But ultimately, I think having to work on Thanksgiving would have been good, because then I wouldn't have to deal with fucking Thanksgiving.
Right.
Was your Thanksgiving meal?
I would not have to deal with my family. It was fine this year.
Do you host a Thanksgiving for family members?
Now my wife's sister has children.
Oh, okay.
So they get an opt-out. They can go, we can't do that.
Oh, really?
We've got to do this and that. And,
okay.
We don't want to disrupt the children. So they can just kind of show up for whatever they want. So now it's just, it was like my parents and us. And it was like,
the sister doesn't even
come. And then her parents live on the other side of the state, and no one wants to go out there.
Okay, so that's an intimate
Thanksgiving. So this was actually the lowest Thanksgiving ever.
My Thanksgiving was fine, although I will tell you, our Detroit Lions kind of cut into.
Well,
my aunties never figure out that the Lions play on Thanksgiving.
I just learned that this
year. Did you know that? The Lions? Okay, you're like my aunties then. You and my.
What do you mean you just learned that?
I never knew that they played on Thanksgiving.
Your dad not watch football?
No.
So the Lions play every Thanksgiving, and they have, but my aunties, they're always oblivious to the fact that the Lions play at 12:30
Women do not care.
And so they say, okay, we'll schedule it. And then I go, well, look, the Lions game is almost over. So I'm telling them, we're going to have to wait because I don't want to have to go to the dining room where there's no TV because the Lions, it's a very close game. They're tied. And then the Lions go into overtime. And they just go, we can't wait. We're eating.
I know.
It's me and like two of my cousins watching the game. And the rest of the some of the guys are into it, but they don't care. They go eat. So I have to have my initial Thanksgiving plate in the living room in front of the TV because I'm that much of a fucking Lions fan. And I admit that that's not
it's a
the greatest thing,
thing
in the world, but we could accommodate every. I mean, the Lions game went extra late this year is the point. They went into overtime.
I
have to sit in the family room with no one around eating Thanksgiving dinner with the rest of my family. Yeah, I know. And then you feel like the complete, first of all, then I feel like the black sheep of the family. I'm not sitting with everybody.
First of all, how come no one else in your family cares?
There are other people that cared, but some people saw the writing on the wall. Like the guys who are married, my uncles, who are married to the aunties who were preparing all the food, they know they got to get to the fucking dining room. Right. See, I don't answer to anybody.
Well, see, that's true.
That's the thing.
A wild, I do my own lone wolf. You're a renegade.
What I'm saying is, I have no. I mean, nobody that you know. I'm saying, no one's really putting the heat on me to eat. You know, I'm not getting a guilt trip, but yet I'm starting to feel it as I'm watching the Lions and the game. Singing, I said, okay, all right. So then, for my second plate, I actually went and grabbed. The
you're hearing laughter from the other room.
But you just don't want to. You don't want to alienate yourself that much. You don't want to be that guy.
Yes,
you
do.
Know.
Look,
no.
I'm begging.
The Lions kind of fucked up my Thanksgiving, and I wish the aunties would just say from now on it's going to be 4:30, and that way you're covered in the event of overtime, in the event of everything.
No, you're right.
Make
it 4:30. The women never know.
They go 3 o'clock for Thanksgiving dinner, and then it's like the Lions are in the third quarter.
Who wants to eat dinner at 3 o'clock?
Thanksgiving.
See, okay,
they do.
Here's mine. Mine is my parents came down from their house up north.
Okay.
To my house.
All right.
And there was a big plan that we were going to go to an Italian restaurant instead of making a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
My mom, dad, me, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew would all go out to a restaurant, have a big Italian. Everybody could have whatever they want.
Oh.
And then my mom realized that it was Thanksgiving and the Italian restaurant was closed. So we had a like a buffet style, like just I'd have no mashed potatoes. I had no green bean casserole. I had no turkey.
Oh, wow. But you prepared the food.
I prepared the food.
Well,
and
what did you prepare?
You know, my mom wanted things like olives, pickles, salad, hummus.
They ate condiments on Thanksgiving.
Different types of breads and rolls.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And then my sister showed up with my nephew and her husband, and they were there for an hour.
John had a potluck.
Then they left. And then I sat around and looked at my mom and dad for a while. And then I left, too. I went and got a drink.
I don't feel so bad about my Thanksgiving.
That was it. Happy
the
Thanksgiving.
The bar was open on Thanksgiving?
I drove around for about an hour.
The regular place wasn't there anymore?
They hadn't opened yet. It was still too early. This is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
5 o'clock. So they're open at 7 or 8, let's
right.
say.
Yeah. And I needed a drink immediately.
Well, I mean, the whole weekend, Thanksgiving is like a whole week of people coming into
it
town.
It is, yeah. Wednesday night is a bar night. And
we were busy seeing friends that were in town.
All right, right.
You know, we went out with her college roommate and stuff, you know. And then my friends were in town over the weekend. So, like, we were busy. It was a busy calendar.
Yeah.
Except on Thanksgiving itself, it was my parents.
Sure.
Can I just tell you, I went out Wednesday
and
before Thanksgiving.
Cooked.
I went out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
People were fucking annihilated.
I have never seen people this drunk.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of drunk people in my life. Well, I pulled up into a parking space at a public parking lot, got out of my car, and then looked, and the car next to me, in front of it, there were two girls with their skirts pulled up peeing on the ground, talking to each other.
Well, that's...
We were right here in Ferndale, and you know, there's no end of restaurants and bars. I mean... almost every bar has a menu except like Danny's. Like almost...
Danny's will serve you something if you...
Right. But I mean,
Danny's
like...
has something. They'll dust something off for you.
Right. Yeah. Do they have that jar of pickled eggs?
Right. Someone brought a lunch they didn't eat.
There used to be that like bars had to have some kind of menu requirement to get a liquor license at one point.
Well,
so they always have like
they can. It lowers their liability if they serve food because what they'll do is that's why bars have they have like.
Pickle jar and
pickle jars, but even peanuts and pretzels and shit like that. Yeah, I took an alcohol class.
So that lowers their liabilities if there's food. Well, at Gus's, our beloved watering hole.
What is that?
That is the tips class, which is a liquor.
You just recently took this?
Yeah, how to serve liquor.
Well, because Joel works in a place that has.
At the comedy club they serve liquor, so that I'm now required to.
And now you're a certified...
Yeah, I have a card that certifies that I'm instructed...
Was that a lot of dough?
The club pays for it.
I've never done anything like that. Oh, I would like to do it. I would like to add that to my resume.
Just read that.
You know, I would like to add that to my resume.
Actually, you can teach. You know who taught me the class was? The guy who owns Mr. B's.
Oh, really?
In Royal Oak was my my instructor.
You know what's great? I've worked in bars and haven't had to do this.
Well, but it's because, and again, it goes to the thing, the bar lowers their liability if everyone takes that class.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
So who was liable for the just ridiculous drunks on the night before Thanksgiving?
It's become like
seriously,
I
can't tell you enough how many fist fights.
Oh, yeah.
Public urination, public vomiting.
First of all, where are you going out?
Hand jobs.
Where do you go?
Royal Oak.
Yeah, there you go.
Royal Oak.
First of all, if you tell me where the hand jobs are, I'm going to leave now. You're going to finish the show.
I saw
me.
Over the past 10 years, this is now the fourth hand job I've seen.
Hold on, Joel's going to need a minute here on the hand job situation.
Hand job I've seen
fourth hand job
in Woody's, just in Woody's.
In Woody's. Well, what are the maybe the name has something to do with it.
This is a. You know, Amy pointed this out the other night. If they opened like a real dance club in Royal Oak,
yeah,
because they have this place Woody's, which is like a three-decker. It's a hell on earth. Ooh. It's like a three-decker slut factory. No,
but
it's
in the afternoon, you go in there and you just get like a meal. It's like
it's
like
fine.
Nothing.
It's a restaurant.
It's like
a real middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like what do you even call it? Like a all American. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, like a roadside bar kind of like sports bar.
Road chicken.
Yeah.
It's like Woody's American Diner. I think is what the actual name of the place is.
Right. So it's really nothing special, but like they have a little dance floor upstairs.
Yeah.
And on almost every weekend, and then on special occasions like that Wednesday, it is so chock-a-block crammed to the gills. And then there's a place right around the corner, the Black Fin. That's like
gracious.
The ninth ring of hell. There's like they got slut stacked six deep.
See,
on the
John,
sidewalk.
I think you need. I'm surprised you haven't graduated from Royal Oak as far as drinking.
Oh, I mean, I come to Ferndale.
You come to Ferndale.
I do.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I go
to places like I'll go and have a drink at the Oakland, just opened up. I don't know if you've been there.
Ferndale's a little cooler.
Yeah, Ferndale's a little cooler.
Royal Oak is like everybody from everywhere else that sucks.
Yeah.
Like everybody from Clinton Township and like.
Yeah, it's like all the
Fraser
Eastsiders
and,
come in.
They all
invade and get loaded and puke
and
over.
It's where the, you know, the young hot to do. Right. Guys who unbutton their shirts down to their mid chest,
but you know it's still one of those things. Like it really does come down to, as honest as I can be, it really does come down to the fact that if I have $10, I can go to Royal Oak, I can drink all night and come home with $15.
Okay.
Where if I go to Ferndale, here.
What does that mean? What do you do? Bar tricks? What do you do?
No, I don't. I don't know how it happens.
Oh, people buy you drinks because you know buddies and you know bartenders.
Your home bar is there, and if you go in there. One, the bartenders are probably not.
The drinks are not. I mean, there's no short pour for my drinks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can get good loaded.
I mean?
Without.
But your home bar is an oasis surrounded by. Non-stop chachas.
Yeah.
It's just a chach factory.
Yeah, that's the problem. I thought you went to the... Is there not a local bar near you? I can't remember the name of it.
The Royal Inn.
Is that the Royal Inn?
Yeah.
Because I remember my buddy took... Bill Hildebrand, who you guys might
know.
Yeah,
there's no one at that place.
He took me to this old man bar over on like Rochester Road.
That's it, the Royal Inn.
And that's it. And he was like, this is where we drink. And only when old people who know how to have fun drink. And he takes me in there. On like a Sunday night.
Right.
And the biggest bar flies I've ever seen are just hanging out in there. And I figured that's got to be your new place, right?
I do go there when on like Saturday nights, Friday nights, I do stay away from Royal.
You do stay away. Okay.
Just because it's
but
too ridiculous.
But on an average Wednesday, though, you'll go to your Gasoline Alley.
Yeah,
you'll go
for
to
sure.
your regular.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That Thanksgiving in Ferndale here, and it was hot, you know, everybody was packed. We went to the Imperial, whatever. And there was a hot dog stand set. There was a set up hot dog stand between two bars that served food.
Yeah.
Next to another.
Right. Yeah.
And then another seven restaurants within, 200 yards. And I went, wow. So people can't eat. There's all these places are, kitchens are open.
Yeah.
They're all serving, but somebody needs a hot dog. Some drunk needs to get a hot dog right here.
It's the tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my other thing Bill Hildebrand tells me about it, he says, that's amateur night. That's what he always refers to that night as, the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Amateur night for drinkers. I don't go out that night. It's for amateurs.
Bill is the most balder, fatter, most interesting man in the world. He's like the Dos Equis guy. He's really, he knows it all. He's been there, seen it all.
You know, I'm in the Rose with Bette Midler. You know that?
Is he really?
He's in the Rose, yes.
He's in the Rose?
He plays a studio engineer.
Can you bring up a picture of him, Corey?
In the Rose. And, I mean, because that's what Bill was doing at the time. I think they just, you know, they shot some of it in Michigan, and they cast him.
I got Captain Planet info.
I know there's 50 Bill pictures on our website, but you probably got to scroll back 7 years to find them.
There should be Google now, right?
There is Google now, but he may be off the grid. I'm not sure.
It's amazing to me that you can
do that.
No,
there
you can just,
there's Bill. Yeah, take a look.
Oh, yeah. And now, see, he was, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Because I have a little
you
bit.
You and Bill should hang out
hold
together.
I have a little bit. Wait,
this came up in my.
Captain Goodbody?
Slim Goodbody?
You know, some good, because that's from our site. I put up Slim Goodbody one time. That's from our show. Yeah.
Bill was shocked when I did a lecture/seance at O'Mara's.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And he was there.
He was there, yeah.
And I called him by name. I said, "Hey, Bill." And later on in the night, he comes up to me and he goes, "How do you know who I am?"
Did you know him?
I recognized him from your site, probably seeing him at other open mic comedy
Bill's,
nights.
Bill's been around. He's my comedy mentor, I like to say, which is...
This is great. I clicked on this page. This is when Bill got real skinny. Remember Bill?
Bill was on a diet
and he lost like 100 pounds.
Bill got down about 160.
Yeah.
And,
was he drinking syrup?
I don't know.
That thing again?
This is great. Bill
do all
got,
comedians go through what, the syrup
this,
to lose
the
weight?
Cleanse?
What Bill, site is this from?
It's on our site
when he was skinny?
It was the Corey and Joel show at the time.
Yeah.
Bill is wearing a shirt. He's wearing a name tag that says Big Dick McGee.
Oh, that was the 200th episode or something?
Yeah, and then...
Or some sort of anniversary show.
Yeah, and he's taking his pants down with Steve Bills.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch... Cass is in there?
Yeah, we had all of our guests came back. Then, I don't think John was on that show, but I think you're probably invited.
And here's a disturbing picture where he's trying to lick Andrea Bonaventura's tattoo.
Yeah, see, everybody...
So
it's a lot
it's of... old school times.
Yeah, Bill was a... We got to get
Bill back. You guys should ever do an episode where you review your old episodes?
You know, we've talked about doing clip shows and that, and then we just go, you know, they're all up there.
I think we're going to do a podcast. Your podcast sucks.
Of our show. All right, so Thanksgiving was good. Now, John, you are, I know you've been looking for Bigfoot, because I've talked to you.
He's been looking.
I did two Bigfoot hunts.
Two Bigfoot hunts, but still, that's
safe more than
to
most
say,
people do in their
yeah,
whole
Yeah, you're looking more than I am.
Right.
So today, this comes out, not today, but sometime in the last week, this story came out, and I have it here from Time Magazine, but I know you've read this, but let me read this to the people.
Time Magazine wrote about this?
Time Magazine. Well, it's on the Time
Magazine still exists?
Well, it's on the Time news feed, so it's probably their blog
right,
or something, but it's an article. A woman named Melissa Locker wrote this. Bigfoot is part human and near a DNA test to prove it, claims researcher. It says Bigfoot is people, at least according to new DNA 5-year study of the creature's purported DNA by a prominent Bigfootologist. Genetically, Sasquatch are a human hybrid with unambiguously modern human maternal ancestry. I read the statement released by former veterinarian Melba T. Ketchum.
Yeah, this is
the lead researcher
already.
And study. Right.
We're already into problems.
Right. But let me just. So basically, her point is that she found samples of DNA, and that's one thing. She never says what the samples are.
Right, it's hair.
It's probably hair.
It's hair. It comes from Michigan.
Okay,
and
so
it comes from a woman who's been feeding Bigfoot blueberry bagels.
Oh, okay. That's not in this. That's not in this article.
No, see, here's the problems with this already.
Yeah,
what part of Michigan?
I think it's up in the thumb area.
Yeah. See this article.
A lot of things go wrong
from,
in the thumb.
But it does say that she.
First of all, you're not a Bigfootologist. Like that's a if you were a real like you'd be a primatologist. You'd even call yourself
a cryptozoologist.
That's
yeah,
fine,
okay,
even.
Yeah.
But not a Bigfootologist. Yeah.
Now wait,
making
hold on.
Some of it.
Did she claim to be a Bigfootologist?
That's what they call her in.
Well, that's what they call her in the article.
The writer of the article.
I saw her on ABC News as well. They were interviewing her about this story.
The other problem is that when you she they. Are not releasing their findings yet.
Right, yes. They're not
going to. You are a scientist.
Yeah.
You don't talk about anything until you're ready to release
sure.
your findings.
So you need to have peer review of your work
exactly.
before
when
it
you
becomes
start
scientific.
Saying you have stuff, but I
because,
can't show you yet
yeah, yeah.
that you're in a slippery
because
slope.
Here's what I think she's proven here. Basically, she has something. She basically has a piece of hair that she's going, this is from Bigfoot. She puts it under a microscope, finds out that it's very closely related to human hair, and then says, oh, this is Bigfoot hair, versus taking a piece of hair, putting it under, saying it looks like human hair, and saying this is a piece of human hair.
Well, there's also problems with the company who's doing the
right,
DNA.
Yeah, the company, yeah, they say it's something called DNA Diagnostics, who have 24 consumer plates and get an F from the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, it's a really bad place.
So it's probably a place where you go and find who the baby daddy is.
Exactly.
Or something and
yeah, they're not set DNA. Up to do Bigfoot.
So, right. So basically what they've done, it's sort of like this. Let's say you complain. You're upset. You go, a guy took a shit on my lawn. Okay?
Right.
That's your complaint. So right. You take the shit, you put it in a DNA analysis, and you find out that the shit looks very similar to dog DNA.
Right.
And then you go, that man that shit on my lawn is part dog.
Part dog.
That's the exact thing that she's doing here.
Exactly.
She's assuming that what yes. this is Bigfoot. So
it
there's
looks
a giant
partly
leap.
Human.
Right. Right.
So Bigfoot is partly
she's not
human.
Assuming that is she that, found human hair.
Is that like if you, you know, analyze the dollar bill, you determine that dollar bills are made out of cocaine?
Because there's cocaine in the dollar bills. Yes.
I don't know if it's made, but it's sort of like it's you're proving you're making this assumption that it's Bigfoot stuff, and so you're proving you're drawing a conclusion before the evidence
for
that
sure.
is contrary
for sure.
to your original hypothesis. So she's changing her hypothesis to like, well, Bigfoot must now be a man. See,
right. And whenever you, again, whenever...
What's the matter? Are you too hot?
You're a little hot.
I'm too hot.
Whenever you have any kind of scientific discovery,
yes.
it's not one person announcing
right,
it.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a peer group. It's peer reviewed. Other people have seen your evidence. Everyone's in agreement
yeah,
with you. You set down four or five people. When NASA has a meeting about something they've discovered,
yeah.
that one guy does not sit there
well, which
and
is,
tell you.
Which is unfortunately why we have agencies like NASA... which is the National Aeronautics Space Association, because, you know, not to rub salt in the wounds of all these Tea Partiers, but you have national organizations of things, you have conglomerates, you have federal monitoring of things, because that represents a collective opinion of
right.
multiple
but
sources.
Also,
so it's not one person's
right. an independent person would look at this DNA evidence and say, well, that's probably a person's hair.
Right.
That's what a normal person who's not a Bigfootologist would look at it and say.
Exactly.
Or it's some other animal's hair.
But see, she's making that assumption because it is partly human.
Yeah.
And because she got the hair from a woman who said, I feed Bigfoot.
I feed Bigfoot. Yeah.
Blueberry bagels every day.
Well, now, my question is, I thought Bigfoot liked everything bagels.
Asiago.
Oh, okay. Is it Asiago? Those
Asiago.
Are the
Bigfoot has a type. Bigfoot's
okay.
Well, there's also in the skeptics community, there's a statement that says extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Absolutely.
And this is not extraordinary evidence of anything. This
no.
is, you know, this is stupid.
No.
So.
The Skookum print, that's
but,
a big one.
Is there, but are there people
the
then?
The Skookum print?
Well, I don't know what that is. What
that
is
that sounds like some Fraggle Rock.
You know how usually you see like a Bigfoot foot cast?
Okay.
I think it's called the Skookum print is
yeah.
actually a cast of where Bigfoot laid down in the field.
Oh, now see that I've
and there's
never
an
heard
entire
of.
You can see the shoulder, you
oh.
can see the you can see the leg. I think it's called the
that,
Skookum.
That I've not seen. Corey's Googled searching
that. Skookum.
If you can spell that fucking Skookum.
Skookum print.
Skookum.
Skookum. Skookum.
Well, I've
print.
Seen how you make a Bigfoot foot.
Oh, I've made them before. I've showed
well,
people
you,
how to
make
them.
You
make
it out of some sort of gelatin, and you add water, and it grows. You cast a human foot.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, there's something that's called, like, melt.
Yeah.
So, like, when you make a footprint in the snow
yeah.
and you give it a couple days,
okay.
it increases in size
okay.
naturally because
sure,
of the
yeah,
melt.
Yeah.
So if you find
that's
a human footprint
yeah.
in the snow 4 or 5 days
it's
later.
It's gigantic.
Yeah, it's 18 inches
but
long.
But I've seen the guy who he casts, like, a rubber thing and then he could make it bigger, like you cast the negative and then he poured something in it and it expanded.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen that where then you could make a giant rubber foot.
What are we
and then
to
you
determine
can go
is that
this?
The Skookum there?
Yeah. I got a Skookum.
I can't even see the Skookum, but
yeah, I love when the what was it about 3 years
but Corey ago? just at first sight, does it appear to be somewhere where Bigfoot
no.
laid down?
It appears to be a pile of snow.
Right.
Really? Really?
Snow,
you would say that?
I would say it's a pile of snow with a certain amount of dirt in it.
Okay. So yeah.
that's...
But I mean, there's just endless things like right. that. That's what I'm
are
saying.
Are people excited in the Bigfoot community about this latest thing? I mean, what are people saying? Are there... I mean...
You know, anything that has to do with Bigfoot excites people right now.
Right. I don't know why.
Anything.
But, yeah.
It's just a return to... people have been burned out now on ghosts and hauntings.
Ghosts are over.
And so now it's into the crypto field. It's okay. All Bigfoot. But people are getting burned out on it again.
Oh, so what's the new? What's the next
trend? It's coming back. Like, it really is coming back to conspiracy theories. It's all cyclical. I mean, it comes back.
What, are UFOs on the next?
UFOs are coming up again after the conspiracy theories.
No, I've seen that UFOs are coming back.
They're coming back. Now, they are coming back.
Now, let me ask you this. And this is okay, I don't know the name of the guy. But on the History Channel, there is a regular, there's a ufologist. And the guy's got hair that looks like one of the guys from Babylon 5.
You talking about Giorgio Tsoukalos?
That's sure.
There's a guy. He's a meme of a guy with wacky hair.
I've seen
the
guy.
Ancient Aliens.
I've seen the Ancient Aliens.
Super tan. His hair is
freaked
out. I've seen the guy in Ancient Aliens. Okay, I understand there's just two principles in factor here. One, having a weird look gets you exposure on television.
Yeah.
Just ask Don King.
You become a character.
Don King is a boxing promoter who said, "I'm gonna just grow my hair up into a big crazy gray cone," and then people will go. You have a look that's the good way to get on television.
Getting attention, yeah.
But that's also a way to get zero respect, because nobody's going to believe the guy's claims when they're like, can't you get a goddamn haircut? What is that deal with?
Yeah, it's one of those things. They create, you know, if you watch the first episodes of Ancient Aliens that he does not look like that.
He blew his hair out as the
camera. And they create, they create a character that people watch.
Sure.
You know, that happens with any reality, quote unquote, reality show, is that eventually they find the narrative that they want to tell and the person becomes a character instead of becoming themselves. And Giorgio is much like that. Giorgio is a weird guy in the sense that everything in our past was built by aliens. Every technological achievement we've ever had has come from ancient aliens. Doesn't believe in ghosts. Is a total atheist. Doesn't believe in God.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's just this weird dichotomy.
He's got all his eggs in that basket.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, that's...
good times.
anything else in the skeptic paranormal
and
world?
I'm not closed off to these notions. I'm not... Because obviously you look at, like, the Mega Mouse Shark. That was what discovered in the 70s.
Yeah,
we
find animals all the time.
Yeah,
every year
big ones too.
A lot
of people think that like there's no big ones. Like we've discovered like the Asian panda bear. Like no one even knew that it really existed until about the 1940s.
Right, and there's always a story every year of like some new frog or monkey.
Yeah, there's always a centipede
that they
that's
find
new
in some corner of Borneo.
Yeah.
So I believe me, cryptozoology is the most credible of all the paranormal fields to me, because it just means there's some kind of creature we're not familiar with.
Right. And I try and tell people that at my lectures all the time.
A mutation or an evolution of a previous existing species. You heard about the tree lobster?
I have not.
Lobster?
All right. The tree lobster is
Now I'm interested.
Look up, Joel, pull up a picture.
I'm doing tree lobster lectures next week.
All right. John sees an opportunity to make money.
Yeah, look out.
No, it's not really paranormal. It's just it's a case of...
Oh, yeah, here's the tree. Lord Howe Island stick insect.
Lord Howe Island.
Yeah, there it is.
It's in Australia. No, Lord Howe Island...
Tree lobster thought extinct for 80 years is alive and well.
Okay, here's what they look like. They're these giant...
It's a crayfish looking
crustaceans.
Right. Are you seeing?
They look like ants, and they have kind
of. Is this the same thing you're looking at?
Yeah.
So usually they're black. That one's red.
Well,
but they have... Right.
Some of them live in the bad part of town.
Red Tree Lobster.
That's a great band name.
Red Tree Lobster.
Red Tree Lobster. Anyway,
yeah, I see this one here.
If you want an indie band, put the words beach or castle or magic or sugar. I believe my new band Magic Sugar Beach Loaf.
Wow.
Sugar Loaf Beach will be a new. Anyway, so the tree lobster. Okay, it's this giant insect. And they were once just plentiful. On this island.
Right.
And they just ran every... And the natives just ate them like, you know, it was a delightful breakfast treat for them.
Oh, things look horrible.
Right. So what happened is that a ship crashed there in like the 1870s or something, or Captain Cook or some British ship showed up on this island, which was previously uninhabited by white people, and they left rats. The rats got off the boat, and the rats had a field day and ate all these tree lobsters. Into extinction.
Okay.
So they thought the tree lobster was extinct. Turns out that they found a colony of tree lobsters living on a volcanic projection in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, okay. So
about 70 miles away from the island.
Oh. Wow.
And it looks like Mount Doom.
Awesome.
Yeah, is that Ball's Pyramid there?
Right.
Is that the thing you're
like,
showing?
It's really an inhospitable hunk of lava. And some guy was looking at this you know, foundation one day, and they tried to scale the side of it, and they found the tree lobsters were hanging to vegetation.
No.
They were living in vegetation on the side. They were like little, you know, scraggly reeds. So what I'm saying is crazy shit happens.
Yeah. And not only that, but you're backing up something I've told people for a long, long time, because I don't eat seafood, which is lobsters, crabs are giant underwater bugs.
Okay, yeah,
giant underwater spiders.
I don't eat them either.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah,
that's exactly all they are. If you look at a lobster and you look at a crab, you can see how that it was at one time a spider or a cockroach.
You can see
there's also
evolution there.
There's also a great video of the tree lobster being born. It's like cracking out of this egg, and the thing takes like 8 minutes because it's like so big and awkward. It's gross.
Gross.
This is kind of what was coming out of this girl's pants the other night on the Thanksgiving when she was dropping a deuce outside the dueling piano bar.
It's like a hand job on the
lobster.
What is that?
There's like a...
Four hand jobs. At one club.
But now this is not on the same night. This is over about five or six years.
Yeah,
so that's less than a hand job a year.
Yeah.
So.
Why would you just... The black fin is this just a horrible... Yeah,
I went in that place, and there was that's another place. I saw a guy fingering a girl in blackface.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just standing at the bar, his
hand. What are you doing at the bar? How are you seeing all this?
I don't know.
His hand fully down the front
fully
of her
down
pants,
and just
and her just in the
groove,
moaning and going nuts.
Wow.
Like, I get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
I wander around because I want to see like what is the debauchery? What is going on in these fucking clubs?
Well, I do too.
They are packed. I mean, that there are just lines of people outside, and it's because people are getting hand jobs and fingered inside.
Well, I'm getting in line.
Let's end the show and get over there. The deal with these places is they're really not any different from any other bar or restaurant. I mean, they're probably lesser quality food.
Yeah,
but it looks kind of like it's all medium classy / sports bar. It's like wood paneling,
a little bit of oak, a little bit of brass.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of people who it's trashy people trying to be upscale.
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of that middle
but
brow person.
For some reason, everybody decided that's the place to go get checked.
But I think a lot of that's that is like, isn't a lot of that like the DJ and stuff? Doesn't that have to do with?
Yeah,
that
I think that's why. And then there's the dueling piano bar next door to it. So this just creates a cauldron, a simmering cauldron of slutitude.
We all know.
The
world knows that no one with any taste class. Or any taste when it comes to entertainment would be entertained by dueling pianos. Only idiots.
Why
would
you go to a dueling piano?
Right, that's what I mean. Nobody would ever find that interesting.
Never been to a dueling piano bar.
It's two piano player douchebags, and they all know the Billy Joel catalog by now.
Yeah,
Or maybe throw in a little Bruce Hornsby.
How do they fight each other?
And they'll just be like, "Hey, Johnny, what's that song go like?"
It's like a giant sing-along, basically.
Right? And then they'll kind of play back
sounds
and forth.
Great. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll have little...
For someone else.
They'll do a little duel. Like one guy will play Great Balls of Fire and go, "Oh, you think that's good?" And the other guy will play it back and forth.
It's sort of like... it's very pubby. It's very... You know what I mean?
They do a lot of things where they get, dental hygienists in their mid-30s to go, "All right, get up and dance, Sally."
Yeah, yeah.
And then they bump and grind.
Well, whatever happened to the bars? I remember there's one of these on the east side where they give everybody drumsticks and you have to play on the bar and stuff. Have you ever...
What?
Yeah, John's never heard of this. I don't know if those are still in. You've never heard of these?
No.
They give everybody drumsticks and you have to like play along to the music in the bar.
Oh, really? My God.
You've never... And like you just play on the bar or the stool.
That
or
sounds like a
there.
Disaster.
Yeah, it's a bunch of nuts.
Have you ever seen the drunk bus? You have to be in other cities. They don't have this here. But have you seen like the drunk bus?
What is the drunk
bus? Or the
bus?
Drunk bike? It's like this... Oh, let me see if I can pull one of these up.
We have a night bus here, in like a private...
No, we have
bus.
Party buses.
Yeah.
But what they have in cities that aren't as obese, they have like the drunk bike, and it's basically like lined up like 10 people pedaling on a bike facing each other.
Oh,
I don't know
how
it spins.
Oh, it's a circle.
Outside.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
And they roll around, and there's like a bar in the middle of it. And they do shots and pedal around.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do... and we got a Christmas present here. Right? Not to change.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Do you want to open it, Corey? It's been sitting unopened. John, do you want to do the honors?
Oh,
I'm
terrible with opening
packages.
It's made
out to me, but it's you can see.
Well,
it's
I can't open that then. That's
you know what's in there, Joel? A hand job. You better get in there.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I think I have...
If, if it's addressed to you, then by law, you have to open it.
Well, I'm giving you permission.
I don't want that permission.
Right. Well, I mean, I know it's...
That could be anything in there.
I'll open it. I have a feeling what's in here.
Indonesian
so.
Child.
Probably not. It could be Bigfoot DNA.
I hope so.
Hopefully.
It's bagels.
All right, I'm going to open this then. So.
If there's you know, you open that and there's like blueberry bagels and Bigfoot runs right in. <again.
laughs> Love it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here
see
for.
What's in here? This is from. Should I tell you where this is from, Corey?
Is that from Germany?
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
It's from Canada or or Germany.
This is from YK, NT, XLA, 1R3.
Okay.
That's Canada.
That would be Canada. That's Canada. All right.
That is.
Oh, Canada.
Yellowknife, Northwest
Yellow
Territories. I need a yellow knife to open this package.
You're going to have a yellow life if you go to the Blackfin. You're going to start getting jaundiced.
I hope that you guys would come out one night to these clubs.
I'll go out with you, sure. Well, I could go out with you now. Let's just say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all right.
Yeah, I'm doing comedy.
Joel, you're coming out with me then.
We got a date, John.
There's the beer bike.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
Get out of here
with
these
that. Are all over Germany.
I cannot wait to do this show after Joel and I go out.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, that's fine. I can bring the recorder. We can do it on.
I would love. I would love to be able to talk. Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's do that.
You know what's funny?
People listen to this special show that's coming. Oh, look at that!
Break that!
Oh my goodness gracious!
This is a 2-pack of European spelled toffee.
Wow!
Some. I don't want to blame the U.S. or Canadian postal agents, but somebody done fucked these boxes up pretty good, and it wasn't me. But I'm sure the toffee fay is protected. I think it's like 3 packages all sort of end to end.
Smokes.
So you want to crack
that's
those open?
That's a lot of toffee. Fay.
That is a lot of toffee. They don't make that anything like that in America.
And again, I say that because they spell toffee fay differently in America. So generally,
and if we do have if we do have German listeners out there,
yeah,
we gotta we've had friends that have lived in Germany for the last couple of years, and they all moved.
Oh yeah.
So now we're German free.
Thank God. It's been a long time since we've been German.
No,
we used to have, your friend.
I'm glad that I went.
We had a guy in the military in Germany.
Yeah, so I'm glad I went while I had a chance.
Yeah.
So everybody's bailed out of Germany. And so I don't
Where are they now?
England and San Diego. Okay. Anyway, and home.
There you go. The toffee fay for John. I'll take one if you're throwing.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Throw the toffee fay and not the mug.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're
everywhere.
Oh, like
my God.
But what are you thinking, John? You've had toffee fair.
Oh,
right?
Of course. Oh,
yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is my German connections have dried up, but on their way out, a couple of our friends sent us a big package of gummy bears.
Oh, well, there you go.
Like we used to get the giant.
Yeah.
So we've had a box of gummy bears that we've been working. It's like they bought all these packages of Haribo.
Yeah.
They had a Smurfs kind.
Oh, okay.
That are called Die Schlumpfe in Germany. If you're a German listener.
This is the best part of the show where we're all
eating
mouthfuls of toffee.
Water.
And you can get your hands on the Schlumpfe gummies. They're really good. And I'd like some more. So please, that's my Christmas wish.
Schlumpfe gummies.
They're good. I was like the Smurf ones, and they're really good.
Anyway.
Am I nuts or maybe I have this right in my brain, but gummy bears, those have only been in America since the 70s, right?
Yeah, probably. I remember as a kid getting them and oh my God, gummy bears.
Right.
They were kind of a big thing in the 80s. Yeah, it was
Before
that, they weren't here.
Well, because there's something with the texture and how they make them, because before you had things like gum drops.
Right.
Which are sort of similar, but
spice
not,
drops
yeah.
And
like Corey
like that.
Brought in jelly babies
right.
The other when he went
And they
to,
were not like jelly
And they're
beans.
Not jelly beans, yeah. So anyway. Yeah. But anyway, we got to thank Cam, of course, the great Cam from Yellowknife for sending us these. He's done this before, and it's always appreciated, Cam. So I kind of knew what this was.
Oh, Canada.
Cam told me these were coming, and I believe he sent these sometime in October, and I'm not making that up.
You know what?
It took that long. Yeah, it's a long fucking way away, Yellowknife.
Well, he lives. I mean, we've looked it up one time.
Yeah, we tried to drive to Yellowknife. Not really try, but we said, let's Google Map.
How far is it?
Detroit to Yellowknife, and we believe it's some sort of...
Okay, the closest city to Yellowknife... I don't think we ever even calculated between Detroit and Yellowknife. The closest city to Yellowknife is Edmonton, which is, I believe, 1,600 miles from Yellowknife.
Well,
the closest
also,
city.
There's roads that aren't open.
Right.
Unless it's the summer. So, we were trying to go, hey, maybe we can.
You would have to, go to Edmonton and fly.
yeah,
somewhere.
We looked
and then
at the
take
yeah, but
know.
Like it's it might even be where like you'd have to travel with fuel in your car because you wouldn't be able to make it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It is 2,850 miles. Or 49-hour drive to Yellowknife.
49-hour drive.
Right.
Well, let's do
that. Compare that to something like Los Angeles, from Detroit to Los Angeles, is probably half that.
That's like a 2,000-mile drive.
You could get to LA in 2 days.
But you can get there in 2 days.
Right, but
right.
I mean, I'm talking
where do you
want to,
okay,
pure...
after the end of those 2 days, where would you rather be?
Right, exactly, but no.
Yellowknife or Santa Monica?
No, they have LA being 33 hours.
Okay.
Can you go 49. Back to that Yellowknife map and do a zoom out so I can see where in Canada it is?
Oh, it's off the map. I know what you're saying. It's right up there. It's the Northwest Territory.
So almost Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's every bit as far as north as Alaska. There's right. Alaska there, John.
Right.
So, yeah. And it is above the Arctic Circle, I believe.
Let's go.
Yeah. You want to go to Yellowknife?
Yeah. I kind of would like to go. I'd do that.
If you see that White Stripes documentary where they go under the Great, whatever, I think it's on Netflix. They go to Yellowknife and do a show.
One of my many...
Well, there's something there.
There's people there. Yeah, well, you know, what it is they're all... The first season of Ice Road Truckers took place in Yellowknife.
Oh, all right.
Because it's like... I think it's the closest city to all those diamond mines and all of the copper mines and all that shit they have up there. Because I think that's what Cam does. He does some sort of engineering in a diamond mine. That's his gig.
I'll go.
So that's how people end up living there.
And I'll go.
I'm sure they make incredibly great money compared to the rest of us schlubs. But you're living in Yellowknife for the you know. So.
Oh, there it is. There's majestic Yellowknife, Canada.
Yeah. So it's a real city. It's not, you know.
Looks every bit as nice as Troy.
Yeah, there's something there.
But you see on this, you drive across the whole of Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, Saskatchewan, and Alberta before you even get into the Northwest Territories. It's unbelievable.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready
to
go.
You know what is great, though, about this? There's, like, the picture I looked up on YouTube or Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's like there's a street, and then it just kind of ends and goes into the trees. Like, you know, it's, like, not developed very far.
I love the fact that this year I drove doing lectures just over 13,000 miles I put on the minivan this year. And I love thinking about that going there and back is, like, half of the miles I've driven.
Absolutely.
6,000 miles to go to Yellowknife and back.
Yeah, 2,850 miles.
And far more treacherous.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not coming back from Yellowknife.
They have an alternate route through the UP, which adds 2 hours. So if you go through Chicago,
right,
you can go through the UP, but that's not even...
You know, the UP adds 2 hours to everything.
Yeah, the UP does.
It adds time to your life. I mean, takes time from your life.
That's how you could get to Yellowknife. You would go through Edmonton, and then from Edmonton,
there's got to be a point where the roads stop being real, though, right? I mean, it's like
that's the same thing if you go south, though. You know, if you start driving south and you go through Mexico, you get to Central America,
right?
All of a sudden, there's not even really roads anymore.
Yeah,
you're just driving on flat land.
I'm trying to see how many miles it is from Edmonton. Oh,
we looked this up before. It's like 1600,
yeah, I know. It's
like 1,600 miles to Edmonton. It's like half the way.
It looks to be about a third on this, just eyeballing it. But
well,
that's still a
why
long.
Why don't you guys put together an open mic night there?
That's great.
We're
going
to do Joel Radio Live or recording Joel Radio from Edmonton.
But, and you know what's great? I'll post that in for Detroit Comics. Be like, I got a new open mic in Yellowknife. It's on Tuesday nights.
If somebody
coming up, get all the stage time you want.
I will go to Edmonton. If somebody puts this together, I'm in Yellowknife. Here's what I need.
All right.
I need some sort of transportation.
Okay.
Meaning somebody gives me a car, loans me a car, rents me something for little or no cost.
Right.
And then I need to be compensated for the fuel. The time, I will give up the time. Meaning
So if someone flies you to Edmonton.
Well, I'm saying, even that, yeah.
And then get you a rental
car. If somebody could fly me to Edmonton, that would probably be a better way to do it. I don't think it would make sense.
Fly to Edmonton.
To drive.
Give you a rental car.
Sure. I'll do that.
Pay for your fuel.
Let me see how far it is from Edmonton.
Put you up in a hotel. Get you a hand job in the stairwell of Woody's.
In the stairwell.
And Joel will MC the open mic night.
Well, I'll do a radio show from there.
What if we opened a
If you go there, you better do a whole bunch of shit while you're there because you're not going back.
It's 19 hours to Yellowknife from Edmonton.
Wow.
Driving.
There's got to be an airport in the Yellowknife.
Then you probably would fly from Edmonton to Yellowknife, yeah. Right, ultimately. So ultimately, I'm flying the whole way.
Did you?
So I need free flights. If someone can work that out.
If what if we opened a dueling piano bar in Yellowknife?
And you and I went and played the pianos?
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, if we brought...
I'm thinking, hold on, let me think. They have Bigfoot up there, too.
Yeah. They have Bigfoot.
They got a lot of them.
You could do a lecture.
Yep.
We could do comedy. We could do radio. Yep. What else, Corey, would you do?
I'm thinking...
Movie lectures.
I'm thinking Yellowknife Tour 2013.
Corey, you go in and talk about the top movies of 2007, because that's all they've seen lately.
Right.
So you go in and give that speech, and then we'll do radio. I could do Up Chuck the Clown up there.
I'll show the movie Radio starring Cuba Gooding Jr.
Wow.
That'll be a new release.
I mean, I'm it's not like I don't want to go to I'll go to Yellowknife.
Joel,
when you
get excited,
yeah?
I love it.
Good.
Because there's just a whole bunch of...
There's a lot of giggles and squeaking.
All right. So we're into Yellowknife. We're going, right? Are you in?
I'm in.
But same terms?
Yeah.
So if the people pay your expenses, you'll go to Yellowknife.
Absolutely.
I don't even need payment to go to Yellowknife.
I don't want
any
money.
I need expenses. I'll give up my time.
I need a place to sleep.
I need
food.
I have a passport.
I
have all the stuff to go.
The flight to get there.
Yeah,
no money.
Oh, I'm going to need payment.
But, me and John are going. All right. That's fine.
I'm
going
to need some cash.
We're going.
Yeah. I'll tell people I'm you, and then I'll say I couldn't come.
How about this? We said we're going out on the town one night?
Yeah.
It's going to be in Yellowknife. That's
what it is.
How about this? We'll do a gig for a door deal.
I guess. Yeah, sure.
If people show up in Edmonton, Yellowknife.
Maybe we could go perform at the Diamond Mine, because those guys are stuck up there all year. Those guys are starving for
you. Could do a hell of a Bigfoot hunt up there.
I'm telling you, I could.
John goes out to hunt Bigfoot and gets eaten by a bear. That's what will happen up there.
That might be the issue.
You can hunt Bigfoot in, Chesterfield Township all you want. With little consequence, but you go up in the real woods.
Hey, the last two Bigfoot hunts I did were in Moorhead, Kentucky. Okay, and they were in the mountains of Daniel Boone National State Park.
Yeah,
it's forest there.
Right.
Wow,
it's not the forest of Michigan where you can walk for 7 or 8 miles and you're like, wow, this is forest. It's all vertical inclines because there's mountains. Yeah. So you walk like 100 feet and you're like, I am the mountains.
Yeah, that's.
I think we just came up with a name for our dueling piano bar.
What's that?
Moorhead.
Moorhead.
The Moorhead Lounge.
Moorhead Lounge.
Moorhand is the case.
So we're in. I think me and John are in for sure. Corey's sort of on the fence, but Corey's going to try to.
Somebody put that together.
I might need some cash out of
Cam,
this
if you put that together, because they got lots of money up there.
You can
like
pay me in Canadian. That's fine.
Okay. Canadian money. It's worth more than our money.
I'll tell you why.
I was just in Canada.
And I'll tell you why.
This is the perfect way to get us all on a plane to crash it and never have to deal with
the
us
Richie
any
Valens, Buddy Holly plane. Yeah.
The problem is, sadly.
Before we go, I'm flipping a coin.
The problem is we don't have any skanks anymore to bring up there. Like,
There's women up in Yellowknife.
There's women up there. It's a diamond
No. They need new women. I'm sure they're tired of the same sad old Eskimo pussy that they got to deal with up there.
But we got to bring girls like it's Vietnam or something.
Yeah.
We're bringing
the
Playboy Playmates there.
Right. We do. Like Anne Margaret or something. We need to bring some talent up there.
Me and John will work on. We'll go
when we
out
go to
the
Woody's.
Town.
When go we go to find, Woody's, we'll bring them
we'll
back.
See who's giving out hand jobs, and they're all going right up to the Diamond Mine.
That's it. People of Yellowknife.
Those girls are going to make money at the Diamond Mine. Are
tons.
You fucking shitting me?
People of Yellowknife, Canada.
Yes.
We will bring you paranormal expertise.
Comedy.
Cutting edge film criticism.
Sure.
Comedy.
Hand jobs.
Joel will bring this.
Yeah, I'll bring my clowny.
We'll bring the clown whistle and
insane
makeup.
Clown posse merchandise
would you clown
for sale.
Up
yeah,
for this?
Yeah.
And we will bring some of Detroit, Michigan's finest hand job technicians. You make
if they're
this
giving
happen,
hand jobs in a stairwell of a club. Imagine what they'll do in a diamond
in
mine.
In a diamond exactly. mine? Are you kidding
oh, yeah.
me?
Wow.
You could ride in the cab with an ice road trucker.
If
imagine
this,
the hand jobs being given out in that cab.
If this girl is willing to get fingered by a Verizon wireless salesman who lives in Dearborn Heights, you're going to get everything.
Right.
It's all on the table.
Right.
The whole menu.
All right. I'm in.
Yellowknife Tour 2013.
Here we come.
All right.
So, Cam, you got your marching orders. You get us to Yellowknife, and we're there. We're coming. And I'm not kidding. I'll actually go.
Same offer extended to Germany, because
really,
it's a lot easier.
Same
to
offers
go
extended
there.
Anywhere. In
yeah,
the world.
If you live anywhere cool, I'll go. If you live somewhere shitty and it's called Yellowknife, I'll go.
If you're, by the way, Ottumwa, Iowa, fuck yourself.
Yeah,
you're
exactly,
not. On
yeah,
this
we're
list.
Not going to.
No.
Yeah, Walla
I'll go.
Walla, Washington.
I'm going. Oh,
John, yeah, John will do it. John, yeah, yeah. John, there's dumb people there that'll listen to. Big
hey
stuff.
Now.
Hey, anyway.
There's right. dumb people everywhere.
You guys want to do this? We've never done this before, but I found this, and I thought
uh-oh.
This was worth
uh-oh.
Having. No, this will be fun. You guys, can we do a mystery record? Does that sound like fun to anybody?
The mystery
record. I play a record, and you guys tell me who's singing it.
Oh, like name that tune, kind of?
Sort of? Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to play
but
the record.
You can't call it that for...
I don't know. Howard Stern
licensing
is a mystery
reasons.
Record, and I'll do a mystery record, because I think this is good. I could just play you the record, and we could goof
the,
on it.
The
beer all right, let me
bike.
Hear it.
All right, there
and, but I'm going to play you a
I'm
mystery
ready.
Record.
Corey, you ready?
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Let me find this. Because I'm using this music service now on my phone. I got to make sure it's going to work. So remember, this is somebody famous doing this song, but there's things about it you're going to... Anyway,
all
just
right.
listen to the song, and I'll answer any questions. But we'll see if you get this. John, I'll tell you what, a box of Toffee Fae if you get this right.
Ooh.
I'll extend that to you.
Ooh.
I don't know how many guesses you get, but let's call it three guesses.
So I got to guess who the famous person
is. This is a famous person, and I'll give you some hints, but at some point...
Let me hear this shit.
All right, let me play this. Let me see if this is going or not.
Let's make some shit happen. Did you just turn me down?
No, I think I turned up the music.
Turn.
All right, this is Mystery Records. It's a famous person doing this song.
Leon Redbone.
No, you can wait for the vocal. It's the vocal is what you're like. Don't you know that I dance? I dance till the quarter to three. Or with the help of last night, Daddy G. Ooh. He was swinging on now, the backs like nobody could. And I was you guys may know the song. The song was made famous by Gary U.S. Bond. And Bruce Springsteen does a cover of this for years. In the 70s, he would end his shows with it.
Palisades Park was it?
So I'm giving you a little bit of the hint at the era.
I don't know. Make it stop.
It's a famous person. You want any more hints? Can I... It's a guy that's known for doing music, but not being a vocalist.
Oh, wow.
First of all, do we all agree this completely sucks?
Oh, this is garbage. This is garbage.
Like, this is a song that needs a soul singer like Gary, you know, you're right. Gary who's popular. Okay, I'll give you another clue. Classic legendary rock band. This isn't the legendary rock band, but...
I don't know.
Anybody?
It's not Robert Plant. No, who is it? What? Jimmy Page?
Legendary rock band.
Townsend singing?
Not Pete Townsend.
Make it stop, whatever it is. Why are you so enthused by this?
Are you intrigued, though?
I'm
like,
intrigued,
who,
very intrigued.
Why would I tell you? The band is awesome. The band makes incredible music. The band, you guys, I guarantee you both love this band.
Mudhoney? What is it? I have no idea.
Goodness gracious me.
Yeah. All right.
Wow, is that
legendary
terrible?
Rock band.
That
you guys
I,
both
that I
are
love.
You guys would I can't imagine you guys both don't love this band, at least on some level.
It's Morrissey.
World
it
fame.
Morrissey, right?
This
now.
Is this man is you all you probably both know his name.
Johnny Marr. What was it? No.
No,
I think I've just got it. I think you're one last shot, John.
One last shot. I will say
he's a famous guy. He's in a
right. I got all the
yeah.
clues.
Yeah. I mean I
know okay. you're prompting. I'm going to say, God, what band
Eddie
would I
Van
love?
Halen?
No.
I got just nothing on this.
That is Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones.
Oh, my God. Get out
from his
here.
Album Stone Alone.
Get out of here.
You want to hear it again?
No, don't. My God. Oh.
Hey! But, I mean, it's the most soulless rendition.
Oh, my
you'll,
God.
And the
disaster.
Stones are no. I mean, you guys both like the Stones, I take it. And Bill Wyman. This
That's
is from
the,
1970, I believe.
Oh, this is just a...
Stop it.
God.
Stop, you, if that was the Archies or something, you guys would be like, yeah, okay, that
yeah,
even
that
sucks
was
for them.
No,
yeah.
You know what? The Archies would have been better.
Yeah, no, you're right. The Archies would. Let me
my
play
God,
you if
it's
I can.
Terrible.
By the way, he has about five or six, because I have this music service. You can just get
right.
all kinds of wacky shit, right? And
what
I was listening
disaster.
To some Stones, and they recommended I listen to Bill Wyman's solo record. And I said, okay. And boy, was that awful. So anyway, let me try to find this other, because there's one more track on this record that is great. It's sung in the same awful.
I can't believe that. Like, how do people get associated with stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, like, how does that come out?
He's got producer friends.
Right.
He's got people.
He's
who,
in the Stone. He's got Mick and Keith there that could, like, you know,
there
help
are people
shore
who could say
up.
Like, that's not a, this is not a good idea.
Here's now. Here's this is a cover. Now I don't know. You guys probably know the sort of the more famous version of this one. I guess Quarter to Three has a more famous version too, but this is. You guys see if you guys remember this one.
Ugh. Is this another Bill Wyman?
This is another track from the same
God.
Album. Bill Wyman, Stone Alone. That's the name of this record. Let me see.
And the name of that album. Oh my God.
Well, he's a Stone Alone. He's
saying,
a Rolling Stone. So he's sort of invoking the name of the
you
band.
You know, Ronnie Wood's solo album.
Like
is
it could have been like.
Well, Keith Richards has solo. I mean,
just saying, but the name, even that Stone Alone, like it's like they were like, you know, okay, you're a Rolling Stone, you're by yourself.
It's funny, you
Stone Alone.
You mentioned when you said like it's a famous, you know, great rock band. I thought about Keith Richards, but Keith actually sings,
right? And you know his voice is sort of distinctive,
right?
Yeah.
So
I was with you. I thought it was like Jimmy Page.
I know that's the right track. I don't think.
Yeah, I thought it was for somebody
some
maybe
kind of
from
guitar
Zeppelin.
Player. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. It, but he, you know, he's a bass player, and I'm sure he plays right. guitar. And it's just I read the Wikipedia about this record, and they talk about how awful it is. And
wow, this
he
is,
has other solo.
Joel,
records.
I got to say, this is the most random corner to go down after the previous.
Well, it was just it was
didn't
just
Neil Young do a doo-wop album at one point.
There's early like Neil Young early rock and roll. That
no,
you
I'm talking
find.
About like in the 80s. Didn't he
oh
put
yeah,
out
he
one,
did.
Like
a, he did some
when,
stuff.
When,
yeah,
when nostalgia came around and Billy Joel was doing doo-wop, and all of a sudden Neil Young.
Well, it's like Lennon's rock and roll record.
Yeah, Lennon did one. I think this is the right track for this.
Sounds like the opening music for this
the
show.
The music sound, yeah. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Do you guys know this song? I forget who did this. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life.
Was he singing this at all?
He's singing it, yeah. It's
just they cover up his voice.
I know. It's a really awful song on top of that because it's
terrible.
I forget who sings it. Some black guy sings the original. That's great. Where the guy says, you know, don't make a pretty woman your wife, you know.
That's terrible.
Anyway, that's Bill Wyman solo. You Ugh. Wonder. Well, and it's also, I should have said it was timely because
is that
the Stones
for free
just
download?
Came back. Well, this is on Sony's Music Unlimited. That's where that is.
You have to pay for that?
You know what's funny, Joel?
I do pay for
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? I have this PlayStation 3, and they have this thing called PlayStation Plus where they give you free games.
Right.
For, I don't know, it's $17 every 3 months.
And
or
to
something.
Punish you, they make you download
No, but
that
they have
album.
A music service. Their music service, which is like Spotify, which you can play on your smartphone or whatever,
right?
They gave you an offer. It was $1 a month for a year, so it was $12 for a year of streaming service.
Why not?
So I said $12. Sure, why not?
Can you pull up Bill Cosby, "Hooray for the Salvation Army Band"?
I'll see if it's on here. Sure,
because I think it's better than the Bill Wyman solo album.
Bill, believe me, I'll find some.
You're
stuff
addicted on to Facebook, aren't you?
A little bit.
Corey plays
Corey's
words with. I've caught him
Facebook.
Playing words with friends during the show.
Really?
So yeah. So,
I am over Words with Friends. I've retired.
Oh,
from
you
Words
are
with
retired
Friends.
From yeah, Words yeah. with Friends. Okay,
I've never played any of those games.
Yeah, well, you're not
like draw. What's the draw one?
Draw something. Draw something. I went through that for a minute.
Yeah.
But,
oh,
never played Words with Friends.
There's a baby of a person we both know.
Who's
there you go.
Was what kind of baby is that? Oh my God!
What is the name of the Bill Cosby song?
He had an album called "Hooray for the Salvation Army Band." And he does covers.
Is it jazz? Because I know he did that jazz stuff.
He did like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Yeah, I don't see any Bill Cosby on
here. Oh, my God.
I apologize.
Who does these albums? Who pays for this? Joel's paying $1 a month.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you get everybody's, you know, you get the full catalog from like Bob Dylan.
Right.
I mean, anything that's on Sony label, they have all that. And then they have, I think, all this, most of the stuff from Universal.
And that's mostly stuff you've never heard before, right?
Right. Well, there's, you know, no, but I mean, there's stuff I
own all.
Well, I got, yeah, but I also got into like the Isley Brothers and stuff on this, which I don't own.
You know, I should find the vinyl copy. The problem is I then have to buy a record
player. Well, I have 16 Bill Cosby albums.
Oh, my God.
Here it is. Hooray for the Salvation Army Band.
I have something called Silver Throat Bill Cosby Sings.
Okay, he had a lot of records.
Yeah. Oh, no, but Bill Cosby Sings Hooray for the... No, I have it right here.
There you go.
What track?
Pull up the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Sure, right? Corey, believe it or not, that's track one. Yeah. I got to plug back in. Let me just...
All right.
Plug back in here.
Because these are going to blow your mind.
Also,
I want to talk about...
He also does Reach Out and I'll Be There.
Probably not millionaires.
I don't know.
Couldn't someone who have made one of these albums pumped some money into one of us?
You know, I was thinking about winning the lottery, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to actually win $500 million.
Why?
Because at a certain point, I would. I'm gonna buy homes for my family.
No.
Yeah.
And things like that, and then I'm gonna, like, you know, I'll have my creature comforts covered, and then I'm gonna have to figure out what to do with the rest of that money. And every nudnik is going to come to you.
Right, is this a take or what?
Yeah, that is the problem.
There we go.
Bill's talking at me.
There we go. Yeah, that's right.
This ain't bad. It's got a groove to it.
Oh, that's good.
Quickly start singing,
man.
It was 20 years ago today.
You know what? The problem with making this a mystery record is you'd know it was Cosby right away.
But the guaranteed to raise
I love it. I love it.
Introduce you. The band you don't want to be is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, how great is that?
Right, Bill.
How's this Reach Out? That's what we got to know.
Yeah, I can get that for you. He also does... Okay, do you want to Reach Out? I'll Be There. I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Hold On, I'm Coming. I do got to hear all those, actually.
It's all good.
Here's Reach Out, I'll Be There. I don't know why these are taking so long to queue.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
I'm getting this album.
That helps me.
I will be paying $1 a month to get this album.
Well, the arrangements are pretty traditional. And who did Reach Out, I'll Be There? Is that the Temptations?
Yeah.
Temptations. Okay.
Hello! If you're standing on a limb in the jungle.
Oh, he's making jokes now.
And the vine is 2 feet in front of you. And the snake is coming down that same vine. Don't hesitate, girl. You know what to do. Don't wait around for instructions from me.
How many sessions did he cut this album in? Like, I'm thinking one afternoon. Yeah.
If you want to help yourself.
Oh, it's the four top.
Four top. That snake is away from you.
So Bill isn't playing it completely straight on this record.
I'm sorry, but
how great is this? Listen to this every day. All right.
How about, should we go?
Let's Satisfaction. Let's hear that.
You're a real swinger.
Here it is. I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Wow, Cosby just breaking all types of.
Breaking it down.
Thump.
You know, he has no memory that he's done these.
No. Right. But you could play that for him and go, well, who's that?
Yeah, if you look at the album cover, he's got a big mustache and a cigar.
Yeah. He looks like Groucho.
Yeah. And he's like wearing a tie with no shirt and a vest.
There's a lot of horns there.
I dig this arrangement.
I'm sure he had good musicians. Background singers doing the harmonies. This ain't bad, but I get the Bill's gonna ruin it.
Yeah, for sure.
I have tried. I can't get no. I can't get no. Hardly any kind of.
Barely on this stuff.
I tell you, I went up to a big office one time in search of satisfaction. I said to the man, I said a 32-bedroom home on my own. And a Ferrari, 2-seater, going fast so I can look good. Hey!
Yeah, he had a good day.
Hey.
Just
what you say? Yeah.
Just high out
give
of his
give me them good things. That's the kind of satisfaction I'm looking for.
There you go.
There's no way.
It makes me feel like that's you heard the James Brown Christmas album.
Maybe. I don't
That's
know.
Great, too.
The James Brown, I could probably the James Brown Christmas album is like, they put him in the studio. They said, "Here's the, we're going to play the music for some traditional songs.
Oh, okay.
Just say whatever you want."
And then he just improv.
And he just improv through the whole thing. Look out.
Yeah.
Corey, sit down, please, Corey. Line, you're destroying. Oh, my
God. Could not swim. He fell in the river. And things looked him. I was 1,000 miles away. I put on my sneakers. And I say, just please do it for me. I said, I'm coming. You gotta believe in me. Yes, you better. Friend of mine was with a wife.
I mean, actually, you know, the point is made, though. Bill Wyman, who you think could get guys, it was truly.
Cosby's got a good band on this. Yeah, you
know. And I bet you the band, they probably pre-recorded the beds and he right. goes in. And
just try to do it. Keep talking to him. Yeah.
Should I do the Bill Cosby Sings record? Anybody?
You better try to do something.
How about the, I think you need the James Brown Christmas album. See if you can find a little Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto is a classic.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's some good songs on that, James Brown.
Do you know what the name of the story? Can you wiki that
there's
for
some
me?
Good, there's some good songs on that James Brown Christmas album.
There is.
Woo.
I'm still thinking about the beer bike. We need to bring that to Royal Oak.
You're fixated on the beer bike.
It's incredible. You've got to do it. Think about this. You pull the beer bike up.
I don't know if that James Brown Christmas
I have 140 James Brown albums are available on this service.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Merry Christmas, baby. Look up that.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
I have James
you.
Brown Christmas with Soul.
Okay.
Just pick that because there's probably eight different
funky
versions.
Funky Christmas. Look up Funky Christmas.
James Brown's Funky Christmas. I have it.
All right. There you go.
A Go Power at Christmas Time lets you need... Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto. That's
a classic.
That
yeah,
is a classic. That's a classic.
The cover is fantastic,
and again,
by the way.
Again, it's all, you can tell he's just improvising it. They showed him up right. in the studio.
And they just said, look, we need this record.
James, just yeah. start.
Just go.
Just make something happen.
Like it's November 30th. They're cutting this record too, right? Like
July.
Yeah.
This is in July.
Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto.
Already 50 times better than Cosby. 5,000 better than Bill Wyman.
Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto.
Is there a verse or is that it?
Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny.
Leave a toy for Johnny.
Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary.
Don't forget about Gary, no.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus.
Good.
That's good stuff, isn't it?
Go straight to the ghetto.
What else is on this album?
He does Merry
Tell
Christmas,
him
baby.
I sent you.
The
go
Christmas song.
To the ghetto.
Like, I'm trying to find regular Christmas songs.
Know that I know what you will see. Cause that was one.
Let's try the Christmas song.
Yeah, I think.
Isn't that Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Isn't that the Christmas song?
It might be, but not James' version.
Well,
James has songs like Let's Make Christmas Mean Something This Year.
Yeah,
right.
He has.
James Brown titles are my favorite. Like, you know, I don't want nobody to get nothing for me. Open up the door, I'll get it for myself.
One of the songs on this album, he starts talking about, like, when the cats spilled their milk. And it's just nonsense.
Unfortunately, this service is not.
Oh, that Bill Cosby record is going to be.
I'm getting that Cosby
the sales
record
are
for Christmas.
Sorry,
you want a vinyl copy
of
that?
I'll
right?
find that somewhere.
Go on eBay and look for that thing. Yeah, this James Brown might not come up.
All right.
I mean, it says it's loading.
As you, as a record guy, talk about getting used vinyl. Did you see the story about the guy who? Got that Robert Johnson album?
No, what happened with the Robert Johnson album?
Guy bought like 300 or 400 vinyl records, set them in his hallway, started to go through them about a month later, and found one of the original Robert Johnson wax records.
Oh, did he? Oh,
yeah,
geez,
it's like one of 30 in existence.
Yeah, this James Brown is not coming up for some reason, unfortunately. So
well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
There's more time before the holidays. We'll find better.
Well, you know, in honor of The Hobbit, shouldn't we hear a little bit of Leonard Nimoy sings The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins?
I'll listen to that.
Is that not really? Should we not hear that? Because that's a classic.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Did you ever get those? They put out, like, I think it was called Golden Throats.
Yeah, that's what the one Bill Cosby Sings record was called, Golden Throat. Bill Cosby Sings.
Silver, no, Golden Throats was a...
Where it's all famous people sing.
Yeah, some famous people sing.
Oh, no, this is the classic Christmas.
Songs for Christmas by James Brown. For some reason, this one loaded.
You got to listen to the lyrics here. You don't grow on trees. Look at you. That's what it's going to be. Have everything I need. Around my...
Look at that bass.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I love you. Have good cheer. I love you. Good dog. That's my baby. My best love. Happiness. Good God.
What air is coming?
Would you believe?
You have no idea what's happening. Oh, there we go. All right.
See if I can get the Christmas song to go here.
See, but that, the thing is, that's like James Brown was like, let's just do...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, man, this song makes me cry when I hear it.
That sound sounded more like a James Brown song than a Christmas song. Just chest roasting on an open fire.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Stand-up bass. John's miming stand-up bass. It's really tremendous. Yuletide
carols being sung. This is way more traditional than I thought it'd do.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows.
He's having a little liberty with this phrasing, but... making it his own.
Come to me. But you know, this is just like a good James Brown, right? It's like,
yeah.
They were like, let's just make a regular, you know, tight, funky James Brown record, and we'll just put Christmas lyrics on it. And that's all it is. I mean,
yeah, okay. Well, it's a good record.
Yeah.
It's a good record. And I do really appreciate the fact that, like, tonight, on that last song you were playing, they told him, like, just say Christmas. They know that Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I love you. On his way.
Well, James was out of his
mind. My soulful Christmas tree.
Right.
Lots of toys.
Oh, Black Jesus.
On his sleigh.
We need love tonight.
Black Santa.
Black Santa. With your reindeer's Rufus.
Does anyone want to hear the King of Fog?
What is that?
Do you know what the King of Fog is?
No, what is it?
This is the King of Fud. This is nothing to do with James Brown or Bill Wyman, but this was the guy. This is Brute Force.
We've really gone on
doing the King of Fud. I know. Weird. I don't know how much show we've even done here yet. Let me see if I can.
Got to be close to 3 hours.
It's a 5 hour spectacular.
Yeah, 1 hour and 20 minutes. This is okay.
We could have driven a quarter of the way to Yellow Knife.
Well, if we can bring the music unlimited, then we can just listen to Bill Cosby records. Yeah. There's 140 James Brown records on the service. So
jeez.
Holy
probably smokes. 135 of them have the
same. And you know how much
12 cuts
on them. I was
going
to say, I bet you there's only 40 James Brown songs. Yeah.
And you know how much the James Brown estate makes on all of these records?
Yeah, zero. Now this was on Apple Records, the King of Fun.
You look up high and you see the sky so big and blue, and you wonder why people don't worship beauty. You look down on the ground.
This is 1968, I think 69.
And brown, and you wonder why.
I feel like I've heard this before.
It was famous in its day.
There was a beautiful land, there was a beautiful land, there was a beautiful land called Fog.
Yeah.
And in this land there was a king, and everybody called him the fucking.
Yeah, see, there you go. And George Harrison was behind this record. What he wanted to do,
I said the fucking, he went where he wanted to go. Mighty, mighty fucking, all hail the fucking, the mighty fucking.
Beatles thought this was real funny. So they, this is a guy with no musical talent who got his record release. You wonder why they needed Alan Klein to.
This is how high they were when they.
Yeah.
Since we're doing, since this has obviously become the music show,
right?
Is there some way that we can hear at least one track from the Van Morrison obligatory contractual obligation album?
Which one was that? Do you know the name of it?
It's called Contractual Obligation.
Well, you know, Marvin Gaye did an album called Hear My Dear that he basically did as a throwaway because his wife in the divorce was owed another album or something, or he needed to pay her. So he called it Hear My Dear, and he threw it away, and it ended up being a hit.
And the fucking thought what he wanted to think. I said the fucking, he said what he wanted to
34
say.
Van Morrison albums.
There's nothing called Contractual Obligation.
All hell.
Sorry, look up. Can you see if that's the name of the album? It wasn't available for a long time.
I mean, I've got lots of box sets and things.
All hell. All hell. The mighty fucking.
The King of Fuzz still playing. All right, I've had enough. Yeah, the King of Fuzz. Okay. Cut it. What is the Van Morrison album?
The thing about that.
That we're looking for.
That fucking song.
I don't.
Remember how swearing used to be a big deal?
Right, yeah, that was
they
a big deal.
They couldn't even say. Yeah, right. They were like, let's do a jokey song where we get away with
and I don't know that they, but I know the day that, like, George Harrison walked out during Let It Be. He quit. He like left the studio and then went and like and arranged the strings for King of Fa.
Really?
Like he left the Beatles session to go work,
to go
on,
work
that.
On that.
Yeah, he was like, he was first frustrated with the Beatles. He goes, I'm gonna go work on the King of Fa.
Corey, what do you got on the Van?
I mean, I probably have the record.
It's actually called Bang Records Session.
Okay, I think I have those. Let me see here.
Bang Records Section.
And what was
Bang
Records about?
Sessions.
He had one more album to do.
Oh, okay.
And
I have something called the Bang Masters 18.
Do
tracks.
That.
That
do that.
Right?
Yeah, that's okay. It. If you got songs on there like Ringworm,
he has Brown Eyed Girl on
topics
here.
Topics ranging from Ringworm to Wanting a Danish.
Yeah, the Danish songs are just amazing.
Wanting a Danish.
Is there anything like that?
No, there's something called Brown Eyed Girl, Spanish Rose, Goodbye Baby, Row Row Rosie.
Well, that was his record label. This is the problem.
Oh, Bang was his record label. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's
nothing
not going to be
there,
on.
Huh? You can't look it up by a song title.
What was the name of the song again?
Like Van Morrison, Danish.
Danish.
Ah, jeez.
Well, I have
so
the
hard.
Complete Bang Sessions. It's 49 songs. Let me see. See, like I said, there's all these. Let me see. Danish.
There you go.
Danish or Ringworm or.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now do a podcast in which gentlemen attempt to look things
here
up.
Here comes dumb. Want a Danish. How about that?
Yeah,
right,
here we go.
The Danish.
I want to hear this.
Van Morrison from the Complete Bang Sessions. Van Morrison, Want a Danish. Right here on Joel Radio. Trying to talk up the record, waiting
right?
for the cue. That's the problem with internet.
Trying to hit the.
It's the problem with internet radio is you don't know when the fucking thing's going to start.
Right.
The Bill Cosby thing. I'm still waiting for James Brown to play. All right. Come on. Go, Van. Sing.
This is my favorite. I'm not a big fan of Van Morrison. This is my favorite album.
I'm not either, but I've heard. Did you ever see Them? Them was his band in the 60s.
Oh, I never saw
it. And he went solo. But I have a Beatles. The Beatles did a concert, and Them was one of the opening acts. And I have the whole thing on video.
Is good?
Hey, he's good. He's a good singer. I mean, it's very 60s.
This is just one of those things. This is just one of those.
I had it potted down on the board. I'm blaming the internet. Meanwhile, I had the pot down on the board. So. He's kind of just. He's the cover is.
You want Danish? No, I just ate. I've just eaten. You want? Like I want some bread up front. Oh, bread up front. You want a sandwich?
Like he just doesn't give a fuck and he's making a song up.
Have a Danish.
Believe it or not, this isn't making me like
sandwich?
Van Morrison.
Have a sandwich. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a sandwich. Have a Danish.
I do like this. It's like our radio show. We're just kind of making shit up.
Oh, yeah.
Just riffing off.
Let's see how long this goes on for. not. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. It's a minute and 3 seconds. Yeah. But that's
then
one.
There's, I mean, it's just. I love it. I think it's great because it's just one of those things where it's like the record company was like, "You owe us these many more songs, so just get high out of your mind, go in the studio and do songs about ringworm."
There's two songs back to back. One is called "Blow in Your Nose." And the next one is called "Nose in Your Blow."
Yeah, those are great songs.
Those are great songs.
They're great songs.
Yeah, I'm gonna let our listeners find those for themselves.
Let them
I don't want to ruin everything.
Let people track those.
But I have Ringworm here.
You got Ringworm?
I got Ringworm. And should we listen to Ringworm?
Or just give the audience a little sample of what they can get for free offline.
Yeah, well, you can look through this.
I'm sure they're on there.
It's probably on Spotify or whatever your local. You can get Spotify for free. Ringworm.
I can see by the look on your face that you've got ringworm. I'm very sorry, but I have to tell you that you've got ringworm.
There's a song called "The Big Royalty Check." I'm guessing he was angry on that one.
Yep.
Yeah. I play guitar almost this good, too. That's how bad his guitar playing is.
It's a very common disease.
It's a very common disease.
Actually, you're very lucky to have ringworm because you may have had something else.
Wow, this is kind of great.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've got ringworm.
That is fabulous. I can't believe I haven't heard of this before.
All right, now I've also got a string of songs called "Twist and Shake," followed by "Shake and Roll," followed by "Stomp and Scream," followed by "Scream and Holler," and followed by "Jump and Thump."
Yeah, none
that
of those.
That is five consistent.
Right.
All right, I gotta stop.
Yeah, stop that.
Sing Hollywood.
I can't stop it.
Sing Hollywood 16.
Yeah, these songs are all like a minute long, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Running around.
Anyway, there it is, the Van Morrison.
I just think it's great that someone in his position at that time was like, fuck this.
Yeah, well, you know, some of those guys, you know, I'm reading Pete Townsend's biography, and he's talking about, you know, in the early 70s, they had no money.
Right.
Those guys all got ripped off. You know? Yeah. They all get bad deals and bad management. And, you know, the performers had no power. They took in the 70s is when rock stars made a lot of their money. The touring got better. And
I think the Neil Young doo-wop album is called Everybody's Rockin'.
Yeah.
And that was also a contractual obligation album.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole trend of guys just.
Wasn't there,
shitting
I mean,
out
I mean,
a bad
I remember
record.
A Neil Young song that was a doo-wop song being like a hit. Do you guys remember that? It was like,
you'll
like,
have to look that up.
Wandering.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Wop, wop. Like it was just terrible.
I've had people that I used to work with and friends in the rock and roll community in Detroit tell me that Metal Machine Music is some amazing, brilliant piece of avant-garde.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, it was Lou Reed's contractual obligation.
Yeah, Lou Reed.
Where he made feedback for an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
And there you go.
Well, that's what happens when you have a...
I know very little about music.
Neil Young's got a bunch of contractual obligations.
Neil Young was sued. You know, I saw this David Geffen documentary that was on PBS. Like, did you see that, Corey? It was on, I think it was last week.
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
Because he sued Neil... When he opened Geffen Records, he signed Neil Young. Because Neil Young was his buddy from the 60s and his manager and him had a label together and all this stuff. His manager and Geffen were partners. So he made, and then Neil Young made the doo-wop record and he made these weird, he did one through like a vocoder, like the voice box. He did a whole record of that. And David Geffen sued Neil Young because he said, I signed Neil Young and he made records that weren't typical of Neil Young. And he sued Neil Young for all this money, and Neil got all pissed. Eventually, he dropped the lawsuit against him. But Neil Young got sued. And they had all these interviews where Neil Young's going, "They sued me for, you know, not sounding like me. How the hell can you do that?" You know. So but Neil Young was just, you know, he's one of those guys.
Yeah,
he was poking.
Well, remember he made "This Note's for You."
Yeah, yeah.
And that was like a big hit. That was, ironically, he made a parody song pissing on all these people that were doing, you know, advertising.
Yeah.
And they were doing
but
tie-ins.
I think the deal was they
made a parody song and it became a big hit.
But MTV wouldn't run the video because it had references to like Pepsi and Coke.
Right.
And they said, well, you can't have Pepsi and Coke in your videos even though you're making fun of it. So they treated him just like a guy who put Pepsi and Coke in his
videos. But yet everybody else,
videos.
I think everybody else picked up that video and showed it.
Yeah, because
MTV
it got,
wouldn't.
Yeah,
that's
it
what
was
often
sort of
happens.
Banned. Yeah, he was that guy.
Pre-viral.
Yeah, that
pre-viral video.
I got a list of all these contractual obligations that Lennon Rock and Roll was considered.
Yeah, that was
because they're like, if you're going to do, just do covers if you want to get out of it.
And then they actually sold. They sold like there was multiple versions of that. There was one that was for sale on television. Where they just sold it on TV.
Really?
Like it was, you know, like a KTEL or something. You know, you would order, you know, that they don't have those anymore usually where
right.
you order stuff off TV because that's another thing the internet killed where you'd order a record off TV. But yeah, they had John Lennon records on TV.
They said there's one, the Stray Cats had to reform to make the no. They were still owed. The label was still owed a record.
Well, I know the last Replacements record was.
Congrats.
It was Paul Westerberg, and he played with a bunch of different guys, and then just called it the Replacements. So,
you're a big. Wow. You know, I was.
I love the Replacements.
I'm diverging for a second. Yeah. I know Joel's a huge Beatles fan.
I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just got into a conversation with someone the other day. Has there ever been, I know this will be boring to anyone, this is solely for me to know the answer
to this
question.
They sat through us talking about us going to a diamond mine in Yellowknife at this point, so don't feel we're boring
as
anyone.
As the Beatles knowledge base that you are,
yes.
Do the Lennon boys get along?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
I think so, but you have to remember.
Have they reconciled all that?
The brothers, I think, are okay. I think the biggest beef is between Julian and Yoko. Because Yoko controls all of John's money, and, you know, John left all his money to Yoko.
Right.
So the kids and the ex-wife and stuff, you know, the first wife, Cynthia, they weren't as taken care of. So whenever Julian needs money, he's got to deal with Yoko. So the feeling is that, you know, Sean Lennon, who was his son with Yoko, has access to all this money.
Right.
Because, you know, he was with Yoko and Yoko has control of the money. Meanwhile, Julian, if Julian wants some bread, he's got to go to Yoko. And he's done a bunch of interviews. I guess in the 80s it was real bad.
How old is Julian?
Julian, I think, is about 50 now. Yeah,
really?
He outlived John.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've outlived John Lennon. You've outlived
right.
John Lennon.
That's
now,
crazy
so, yeah,
to me.
I mean,
that shit is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and Julian had one really good hit.
Yeah, he did.
And he could have. You thought he could have had more of a.
But he also made a
but
record.
He still puts out albums. He does.
Yeah, I don't know how much he does, but he also did. He did at some point embrace like the Beatles sound, and he made a whole album of like Sgt. Pepper and stuff that really didn't go anywhere.
I think he still puts out albums.
I think he does too. You can look him up, but he's not.
Like
but
he's probably doing it now just because he likes music.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good singer, and certainly he could play. I mean, he's Sean got Yoko's singing voice, unfortunately.
Right.
That guy's, but you know, he's got his own. He's sort of in.
He's
got
to be in his 30s by now.
Oh yeah, he's probably 40 almost. I would think. Sean.
Well, no, he's like my age.
Yeah, he's 37.
He was born in like 75.
Okay, yeah.
How old is Julian? You got him up there.
49.
49.
So I got that.
Man, that's so crazy to me.
Well, he was born in 64 then. Right. Yeah, 63.
That's so crazy. They get along. Well, apparently Sean and Julian.
I think Sean and Julian have always gotten along.
I've seen things where Julian's come and done show stuff with Sean
with
and
Sean,
fun
yeah.
shows. And stuff.
Yeah, because Sean was worked with all kinds of. Like alternative acts.
Does Paul have fucking kids?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Paul's got kids. Paul's son has a record.
His daughter
job.
Stella is a big fashion designer, and
but
his son James is a musician.
His son James has records, and they're not
good.
They're not great. No, unfortunately.
Has Ringo got kids?
And George Harrison's son Danny. Well, Ringo's son Zach is the drummer for The Who and has been for 20 years.
Right.
So he's awesome, and he played in Oasis. He's one of the best rock drummers there is.
Yeah.
So Zach Starkey's awesome, and then Danny Harrison. Is George's son, who looks exactly like him.
So they could put
and
together.
And he had a band called The New Number Two. You know, that's been. There was a British press report that they were going to put out a record, but I don't think that's happening yet.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Fucking
because
do
the
it.
Expectations are too great
just
for them.
Just fucking do it.
And, look, you know, if you hear their other
Jacob,
records.
That didn't stop Jacob Dylan from putting out one shitty Wallflowers record after another.
They just put out a new shitty Wallflowers record.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They came
Jacob
back.
Jacob Dylan still put out a record.
The Wallflowers did have a hit.
God.
They did have a.
But he also can sing, and he didn't really do Dylan. You know what I mean? Danny Harrison kind of sounds like George.
Danny
looks exactly like young George Harrison.
Bring me up a picture of that. I didn't even know that he existed.
D-H-A-N-I Harrison.
I didn't even know he existed.
Well, Danny did a lot of the stuff when they made like Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah.
And some of the later projects were all Danny's doing. So Danny's done a lot of stuff with the... Danny looks exactly like young George Harrison. Yeah, exactly.
There, look at that.
That's fucking creepy.
He looks exactly like George.
That is creepy.
You ever see like people and you go, was there a mother involved in
this? Yeah, I know. I know.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, Danny looks exactly like young
George Harrison.
And he's all right music.
James McCartney looks actually older and fatter than Paul McCartney, believe it or not.
Yeah, look at that.
James McCartney's bald.
Not George. That's his son.
That's the son, yeah. Yeah, he looks exactly like the Beatles when they came over.
Harrison's son is okay musician?
He's okay. Yeah. You know, again, it's not...
I think he's actually probably considered a fairly decent musician.
I think he's a good...
Crap. Wait, that's...
Paul's son, is that James? Paul's son does not look as good.
Yeah, Paul's son's kind of fat and bald.
But if you look at him, though, he's got, you know...
Paul's son looks like Corey.
He looks a little bit like... Thank you. Fuck you.
He does look a little like Paul, but he looks...
He's a breed from Linda, isn't he?
Yeah, that's Linda's son.
You can see Linda in it more. Yeah.
But, you know, you can see Paul.
I can see Paul, but I see Linda a lot.
It's a little bit...
Yeah, he's been on Letterman and stuff.
It's like a fat, blonde Paul. It's weird.
He is. Bring up Zach Starkey. You want to see great rock and roll? I'm not going to go through here. Watch The Who at the concert for 9/11. I think they do four songs. That's Zach Starkey on the drums. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Best rock and roll you'll ever see.
You know what?
Four songs.
He looks like a little bit of a handsomer version of his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the big, huge nose like Ringo.
Not yet.
Ringo, by the way, aged the best. If you look up Ringo now, Ringo looks great now.
Absolutely.
Well, this goes to my theory.
Yeah.
And
I know your theory, but go ahead.
John has probably not heard this. I've said this theory for years, and it's probably going to go in my act.
Yeah.
Being ugly lasts forever.
You don't have anywhere to fall. Yeah.
Ringo's a great example. Yeah. And I'll use Ringo.
Ringo is the ugliest Beatle.
But Alice Cooper is the example I use.
Oh, my God.
Right?
You're
hasn't aged today.
You are onto something.
Ugly doesn't
Iggy
age.
Pop. Wow. There you
can
go.
Stay
yeah.
ugly
yeah.
forever. Alice Cooper, 1977. Yeah. Alice Cooper, 2011.
It's the same ugly guy.
It's the same thing. And so nobody goes, handsome people get old and they go, oh, look at Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Right.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
But they go, oh, it's such a shame Robert Redford cracked up. I mean, whatever.
Farrah Fawcett in their last day. She's dead now.
Yeah.
Is she dead now?
Yeah, she's dead now.
But Alice Cooper, he's in the
I am so behind on who's alive and who's dead.
In the movie Dark Shadows. Alice Cooper is in the movie.
Yeah.
The movie is set in 1973. And they're like, and Alice Cooper shows up and plays a song, and they're like, "It's Alice Cooper," and it looks exactly the same.
But like the band and stuff, they had to cast guys,
right?
They had to put those guys in hair and makeup.
It wasn't the
Alice just showed up and was him,
right? No, so being ugly is a lifetime thing.
Wow,
yeah,
you can stay ugly and look. I mean, I've looked 40 since I was 14. So, I mean, you know, it's fine.
Do you want to do some? We talked about movies briefly. Do you want to do some reviews before we get out of here? Because John's got to go look for
Bigfoot. There you go. There's all the Beatles boys. Somebody put them together.
Yeah, put that together. I mean, put that show together.
Put that fucking show together.
You know what? Here's the thing. If they needed money,
they're instantly going to make it,
but they already got $1 million. Right. That's the problem. They've already got all the money they can possibly spend.
Okay, but look at it this way. How much did this fucking stupid rain make?
Oh, no, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, okay. All the tribute groups
like
and stuff.
Like, anytime that they go, Sean's got to go to mom and get some cash.
Yeah.
Just do that.
You know what I've never understood?
Paul's touring and Ringo's still touring.
I was just talking about this with someone, too, about Beatles tribute bands.
Yeah.
Right? And I was, because I saw something on PBS. It was some
Beatles. They play Rain.
Band, right?
Yeah, they play Rain.
Is that who it is?
That's
is that Rain?
Yeah.
And the thing that I can't figure out is if you're going to do a Beatles tribute band and they're going to come out and they're doing each era.
And they change their outfits.
Like, are you trying to tell me that you can't find, I would really go and see a Beatles tribute band if for the early Beatles, they had a group of kids who were
19-year-old
all
19
years
playing.
Old.
I think some of these bands start out
because when I see 50-year-olds pretending to be 19,
yeah.
that's not the fucking
well,
Beatles.
What happened is Rain Rain, I think some of those guys were the original Beatlemania, which was on Broadway
right.
in the 70s, and they did cast young guys. So those Rain guys have been doing it for 30 years. So it's, I think some of those guys were they got started.
You know who was in Beatlemania?
Who was that?
Marshall Crenshaw.
Marshall Crenshaw from Detroit. Yeah,
who was a great...
He was John Lennon, was he not?
Is he alive?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, Marshall Crenshaw went to Berkeley High.
Are you? I know
didn't
that.
Did Marshall Crenshaw also do Buddy Holly on Broadway?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I think
he was Buddy Holly in La Bamba.
La Bamba. Okay, all right, there you go.
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah,
we've now gotten together. As nerdy as
what I saw. I saw the bootleg Beatles. Who? It's funny because I think the Beatles guys. I think the bootleg Beatles don't tour America, and like Rain doesn't tour Europe. They sort of divide up the. Hmm. So the bootleg Beatles are the big British tribute right. to the Beatles, and I saw them at a festival, and it was very early in the day, and I walked right up to the front.
How were they?
And they were fantastic, and the John Lennon guy creeped me out.
Really?
Because he looked exactly like John Lennon, and he sang like John Lennon.
And that was the bootleg
and I
Beatles.
Was, yeah, this is the bootleg Beatles, and they sang great. And I was as close. Paul McCartney looked like a fat old woman.
Right.
But the John Lennon, I was as close to him as I was to you, and it was weird. I felt weird, actually.
Really?
Because, you know, he's up there singing Beatles songs, and he looks exactly like John Lennon, sounds like John Lennon.
Right.
And it was spooky. You know what I mean? You got that little spooky thing.
Joel's afraid of ghosts.
Well, you know, it was spooky. It was spooky when you see it done that well. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
No, they're good. No. Yes. Ghosts are not a Beatles tribute band. I can see the difference.
If you had a Beatles seance.
Yes.
And if you get a seance.
I'm planning on
you
that.
You raised George and
We're
John.
We're going to do it in Yellowknife.
And you got George and John and they played a show.
Yes.
Then that's all the money in the world. Right. You make all the money.
If you could get John to come back and play
how come Ghostbusters aren't looking for John Lennon's ghost?
By the way, if you have Netflix, may I recommend to you, and I don't recommend this, but I recommend it. Paul McCartney really is dead. It's a movie where they found tapes of George Harrison. I have it. We could watch it right now. We watched some of
this
it.
This is fascinating.
Harry came over, and Harry tried to get through.
This is fascinating to me.
And it's a tape of a guy. I'm trying to do the guy in the thing, and you're going to say, that's a terrible British accent, but it sounds exactly like the
Did
guy
Did we do
in
it
the
on
movie.
The show or no?
Oh, and then what happened was Paul was in an accident, see? And it was like Paul was in an accident in 1965. But Brian Epstein made sure that no one would know the difference. And it's like the whole thing sounds exactly like he apparently made tapes while he was on his deathbed revealing that Paul was really an imposter.
See, I'm interested in that.
It's on Netflix. Paul McCartney really is dead.
It's the worst.
I've tried watching it on three different occasions, and I believe I'm about a half hour into it.
I will watch the whole thing.
It's 90 minutes. Hey, you do that.
I'll watch the whole thing.
You have fun.
I'm going to buy it.
On the flight to Yellowknife.
Considering the capacity I have for watching horrible, horrible things,
yeah.
I couldn't get through that thing.
We made it through about 3 minutes, I think, and I.
You guys don't know what I
watched.
As a paranormal researcher, you don't know what I
watched. Paul McCartney really is dead is so bad. It really is awful.
You know, when I have to watch The Haunting of Smithville Hospital, 8 hours of an overnight investigation.
Did you ever sit there and go, would you just turn the fucking lights on?
Yeah.
Would you just could you just fucking turn a light? Turn a light! That's it!
I never understood.
You know what? Turn the fucking light!
It's scary in here.
The lights are off now.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's darker.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's a disaster. And no, I've told people, first of all, I don't get that. I mean, I understand the television scare fest. It's got to be, you know, dark and spooky and stuff like that. But just to watch it. And not only that, but the cameras are faced at the people on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So when something happens, you get their reaction shot.
If you see a ghost, you have to swing around
and
anyway.
By the time they swing the camera around, the ghost is gone.
That's a pet peeve of mine, just on another unrelated topic. On every podcast that does a live show, which the Corey and Joel Radio Show pioneered, by the way.
Yeah, we were the first.
Live comedy show. Until someone proves me wrong.
We did the first live comedy.
We did the live podcast. Comedy club podcast, which is now a staple. They all go to the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Cobb's in San Francisco, and they do. Well, all of those shows, they don't mic the audience.
Yeah, yeah. We did. And we always mic the audience.
Yeah.
If you mic the audience, you get laughs on your laugh lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead,
the first episode of Corey Joel Radio?
March 2005.
2005.
March 2005.
I told it to Mark Maron, and he went, oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, Mark Maron.
He kind of went, oh. Yeah. And then proceeded to move on.
Mark Maron, okay.
than have
Thank you for that.
Keith and the girl on. But still,
they could did they predate us or is it was it so contemporaneously?
They I'm not sure they may
started like within a month of each other.
They
say,
were
yeah.
not very far off from us. They,
yeah,
I think they came after us.
They might have come
Dawn
after us.
Dawn and Drew were certainly around.
They were
before
on before
us.
Yeah.
There were people. I'm not saying we were the first podcasters of all time. But
no.
There were certainly people.
We were the first stand-up comedians doing podcasts.
As far as
that's,
we can tell.
That's our claim to fame. Claim to no fame.
If someone can... Yeah, I know. We have zero fame from it, but if someone can dispute that claim,
but until we
do.
Go to Yellowknife, which... Right. When, yeah, now, once we go there, everyone's going to be flying up to Yellowknife. You realize that.
It's going to be huge.
Once we do it, we're going to break down the...
They'll have to build a road that's passable all year long.
We're going to bring the red, white, and blue to Yellowknife. It's going to be all-American staff.
I'll tell you what, if I would have won that $500 million, I would have built a road from Detroit to Yellowknife.
I'm going to be... Can I do some of my Yellowknife...
I would build a rainbow bridge.
Can I do some of my jokes for Yellowknife? Let me just...
All right.
Why is the knife yellow? I mean, come on. Where'd you put the knife? Did somebody pee on the knife? I mean, come on.
Do I have a buzzer?
Yeah, of course. That's what you're going to get at the diamond mine.
That'll
you're
kill.
Eat that up. Come
It'll
on.
Kill. It'll kill.
Who made the knife? Is it rusty?
I'm going.
That would be an orange knife.
How hungry do you have to eat a beluga whale? I mean, I could see a minnow. My Seinfeld's gayer. It sounds like a
gay.
Cartoon cat.
When you go to Yellowknife,
yeah.
Do you just... Pretend you're Jerry Seinfeld. That's the only comedian
I've
ever heard of.
I
want to
give them something.
What,
you know,
what happened is I got fat. I haven't had to be on TV in years, so all I do is eat.
I'm giving them the watered-down version of entertainment that they expect. I can't give them my act. My act is too edgy for Yellowknife.
You
too
think,
edgy.
You
I think,
your
no,
act
I think
is
my
too
act
edgy.
Would be
think,
too edgy. Absolutely.
You think.
Your act is as edgy as a cue ball. What are you fucking talking about? Too edgy for anyone.
I'm going to see comedy tonight.
Where are you seeing comedy tonight?
Where do you think I'm
going? Omer's Comedy Night with Joel Fragamenti. All right, it's going to be a big show.
Wow.
It's going to be a big show.
I'm bringing a friend of mine named Pete Peterson.
Oh, Pete Peterson.
Are you really?
I am.
Wow.
Chefy Peterson.
He's meeting me there.
Smoke fingers Pete.
Do you know Pete Peterson?
Huh?
You're friends with
Pete
Peterson?
Yeah.
I don't know Pete Peterson. All right.
I talked to him last night. I told him I was going to go to Omer's. He said he's coming up.
No, wow. He's already there.
He said, I'm a man of my word.
All right.
He's probably already there. He teleported.
He does have
that. You know, we've never discussed Peterson in the
Well, what it was with Peterson.
He's a mystery man.
All right, Pete Peterson.
He's a man
coming,
of shadows.
Coming soon to Joel Radio.
He's a man of mystery and shadows.
He teleported himself.
Oh, did he?
To places. We've never figured out. Because for the longest period of time when I met him, he was this younger than me.
Sure.
And he walked everywhere. He never had a car. He was kind of a technophobe.
Yeah, all right.
And one time he left Birmingham, Michigan. He walked out of a building.
Right.
And this is at like 16 Mile and Woodward.
Okay.
He walked out the front doors, and I thought, I can't let him walk all the way to 12 Mile and Woodward, 4 miles away by himself. I'll give him a ride.
Yeah.
And I walked outside, and he was gone. And I got in my car, and I drove up and down Woodward looking for him.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't find him.
Okay.
So I went to the Denny's where I thought he was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the Denny's, and he was paying a bill.
Wow.
And leaving.
Wow.
Because he had already had a bunch of cups
so
of coffee.
He's got something going
and
on.
And people were like,
now,
Pete's been here for a long time.
Now, there is a theory that there is there's an answer to this.
There's two Pete Petersons.
There's more than one Pete.
Ah,
that's the theory.
See?
There's multiple Pete's,
I
or that we are all experiencing a different reality in which there are multiple Pete's. But, you know, there's many theories. All right.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about Peterson.
Okay, that's fine. That's
the guy. This is a guy John and I have known for about 30 years, and he's a man of mystery and
rumor. Another one of those people that doesn't age.
Yeah. A guy even I don't know.
Well,
all right.
You know what? Being ugly will help.
Being
I'm telling you, lock in that ugly, and then you can roll
I think I look pretty good for my age, and maybe your theory holds up in my case.
Joel doesn't look any different. When I met Joel, he had his hair greased back a little bit.
Yeah, it was longer, and I'm wearing it shorter than I
have. You have not appreciably aged.
I have
There's
not.
There's a little specks of gray in
there. Little tiny specks.
But you haven't aged that badly compared to, like, you know, some of my handsome friends. That's what, when you go to like your high school reunion.
Yeah.
If you
He's
go to,
talking
like,
about me.
Well,
John was an Adonis, was a gorgeous hunk of beef once. All the ladies were interested. John was like
true.
A Pied Piper.
It was true.
Yeah. It was his cock sang a song
really?
That only women could hear. It was on a frequency. John would walk in the room and they'd all be like,
Those days are gone.
Who is that guy? And now John's going to work hard for it.
Yep. Those days are gone.
Yeah. Me.
I don't work for it at all either. I'm done.
Me. I need a trank darts and an alibi to get laid.
Right. All right.
So John was always, women were chasing.
I'm trying
after
to find an older picture of me from like 7 years ago.
I remember when I first met
Pull
Joel.
Your old headshot.
When I, old headshot with the mullet.
He had the slicked back ponytail.
I have the Joel Club Bart picture in my garage.
Oh thank you. I was wondering where it happened.
Happily putting guys on 17th.
Yeah, there's that, and then
I know it's
underneath
behind,
one.
I know.
You have both of them.
I have both.
I'm trying to find old. I can't find old pictures of me. I'm only finding.
They're
old
all
pictures.
In my garage.
I should have some. I have old pictures of Corey. I think.
Well, then no one. Wants
I have
to
old
see
pictures.
That.
Oh, here's an old. Well, what year is this from? That's me in 2005.
No difference.
On stage.
Not a difference at all.
I have more of a beard now. I'm probably fatter then.
I hate to say this. Joel always talks about losing weight. And
gaining
fatter,
weight.
And I see no difference.
And
I just know that when I met
I'm
Joel.
I'm every bit as fat as
the
I
only thing that's
Pete
different,
Weiss, everybody.
There's a Pete Weiss for you. There's
the only thing that's different is that Joel seems to wear pants less often now.
Now he's in shorts.
Well, you know, the studio gets quite warm when you have all this equipment going. And well, here's a picture of me eating a corn dog in 2005. Is that...
No difference.
No difference, right? That's
you actually look fatter there in a weird way.
I kind of. You
look a little older in that picture.
I'm Benjamin Button, man. I'm telling you, going the opposite.
Some people look, some people like the best they ever look is like 42. You ever notice that?
Oh, no.
There's some people that age.
If you look at some of the people who were on television in the 70s,
right.
They looked better in the 90s than they looked in the 70s.
Yeah, there is a weird thing. There's a weird thing where you like. You even out and you thin out in your 40s.
Yep.
You grow into yourself.
That's actually happening to me now.
Interesting.
You think so?
I know so. First of all, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's changing my whole body
smoking,
chemistry.
I think smoking, ruins your
life.
Yeah.
But this is absolutely freaking me out because I started losing my hair when I was like 22. And I have a bald spot in the back of my head.
Why don't you tell me about this, fucker?
Wait a second. And so I have a bald spot in the back of my head. But in the past 2 or 3 months...
Spin me your tale of woe. losing hair.
Hair is growing back.
It's growing back.
It's growing back.
The not smoking is making the hair grow back.
I think that not smoking.
Why don't you pull up a picture of PJ Butland from 2000?
I don't know where these are. I gotta.
I'm just saying.
Looking at pictures during a podcast
is no fun for people at home. Well, that's why you guys are talking. So
you Peterson here. Towards the future.
No.
Oh.
All right.
All right, well, we've run out of steam.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's a folder I wasn't supposed to bring up. All right.
What?
Let's see that folder.
It was Gathering of the Juggalos photo. Well, we can look at those. We can look at those after
you
the
can
show.
Bring those up because...
I know.
You're the cat house.
Huh? Oh, here we go. Here's the one-year anniversary of Corey and Joel Ray. Now, Corey, I'm going to say... There's Corey and Rob.
Looks
and
better.
Corey.
Yeah, I look like shit.
Corey is skinnier there, I would say.
I am
say.
A little thinner.
Corey's skinnier there.
Rob looks good.
Not that that doesn't look like you. And Rob is.
All right, I'll tell you what. If you saw Rob in high school.
Yeah.
And you see Rob now.
Rob Rose.
There's a difference, right? Rob was a handsome.
I don't know Rob in high school. I'm just talking to
I'm saying
here.
Rob was a handsome
this
guy.
This is 6 years ago, Rob Rose. Yeah. I mean, Corey, you're not that. I mean, it's not
I'm
like.
I'm a little thinner.
Do you still own that shirt?
No.
So, okay. Like, that fits you, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There,
you know
by the
I
way,
think, though?
When I talk about live comedy, live podcast, there's a picture of it right there fucking there.
We should have held up a newspaper.
You know what? Joel, when you showed me that picture of Corey.
Yeah.
You know what I just realized?
And there's me on the right, so.
You know what I just realized?
Yeah.
You talk about how, like, Corey's saying the old sticks.
Yeah.
I think... Now that I've seen a picture
from this picture, though, Corey, that looks like that could be us today, though.
No. Listen, this is when I saw that. This is what popped into my head,
sure.
And I've never even considered. I'm considering a whole new idea, right?
Yeah,
because I think Corey looks good right now.
Okay, yeah, I'd say so, sure.
And I think that some people are destined to look best as adults.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think that some people their awkward stage is youth.
Okay.
And then when they become an adult, like now you look like a handsome adult man.
Well, sure, whatever.
6 years ago, you were kind of a creepy, not adult man.
Right. When I was like 29.
You were too old for your age.
Yeah,
and now
absolutely.
You're,
now it makes
now
sense.
Now you look your age versus.
Well, no, my hair started going too when I was about 20, 21, something like that.
But does that make sense?
Well,
what
I've
I'm
seen
saying?
Pictures of you with a big afro and stuff, and that was what, high school or just
I got
after?
Lots of those pictures.
Yeah. Oh, no, I had a lush full head of hair in high school.
Yeah.
And then probably in my early 20s, 21, something like that, 22, it started to thin out. And then it really went by like 24.
Well, I had hair down to my shoulders for the entire 90s. Yeah. The entire decade of the 90s.
Whose was it?
Mine. Fuck you, Denny. But it's funny because I saw this girl that I went to college with. This would have been like 98, right at the end of me having the giant. And she remembered me as this, I look like a stoner with real hair. And I go, I wasn't stoned at all. I just look like I was stoned.
You know, I look at every picture of me and I go, if I was 20 pounds lighter, it wouldn't be that bad.
Oh.
And I just look at all, I just go, wow, I am.
A lot of these are just terrible. Hey. Well, hey, what happened to her? Yeah, speaking of what do they look like now?
Well, girls have it rougher.
Yeah, girls do have it rough.
Although, there are girls.
First of all, how cute is she right there, this girl? And
What
does she look like now?
There are girls, and they hit a wall, and they fall off the show.
I had a thing for her, I'll tell you that
you
much.
You did. You were into that.
Ay, ay, ay.
Deals, man.
Girl drove me crazy.
My hair loss.
Look at her eyes.
Corey, you said, like, I wish
it's
I should have said something.
Yeah.
Corey, there's a Todd Stark sighting from the back there. Good. I believe that's Todd Stark's
great.
Right there on the left.
No one cares. All right.
My,
look at Big Sal.
My hair loss thing was, first of all, for many years, and Corey remembers this, but I swept my hair back and had kind of a little pompadour in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you couldn't tell. Plus, I'm 6'1", 6'2", so I'm taller than everyone. So you could never tell.
So when you started, you lost it in the back.
Yeah,
I have
traditional male pattern.
Male pattern baldness. It starts at the back, and Corey had it from because my dad has a thing. My dad is like he's basically all gone in the front.
Right.
But for years he had like the isthmus.
Right.
He had the strip coming from the middle.
Right.
All the way down, and then the peaks.
Yep.
Were sort of growing back.
Right.
And that was my dad's
baldness. Happened with me was that my hair retreated to a fixed point, and then stopped for many years.
Yeah.
There was no movement.
Sure.
And then now it's thinning in the spot behind the fault line.
Okay.
So that's terrible. But
all right.
There you go.
Next time, you know what I'm bringing? Next time, you guys have to invite me on the show just for this one fact.
Look at Bill.
Alone.
Speaking of aging.
Speaking
just
of aging.
For this one fact. This one fact alone.
I should send him that picture. That's kind of great, isn't it? Actually.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The next time I show up here.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Kabuki.
What is Kabuki?
I'm bringing Kabuki.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Kabuki is a plant fiber that magnetically attaches to the last remaining hair particles on your head, and it gives you a full head of hair.
Really?
And it's unbelievable when you see it work in action.
But like,
Corey,
like,
I will give you your hair back.
But wait a minute, like you swallow this?
No.
It's
shake it on. And it's negatively
it's, some sort of
it's
powder,
negatively huh? charged.
Well, they do
plant
that.
Fiber.
They do that on TV and stuff with
it's
guys.
It's negatively charged plant
fiber,
and you shake it on. It grabs onto your hair and gives you a luscious full head of hair.
All right, I'm
Kabuki.
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 Doing it.
I thought I'd watch some of those videos. That's Bukkake. Anyway.
All right. Well, what else is left to say?
Well, I'm going to have to look at this lovely archive of Joel's pictures, and I'm going to.
Yeah. Well, I could put.
I need some of these. Yeah.
I have to go outside and smoke a pipe.
All right, we're about done, right?
Okay, let's get out of here, everybody. Thank you for listening. Let me play us out of here.
Coming up soon in weeks to come.
Kabuki.
John, do you have anything to plug before we go?
Weirdlectures.com.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's about it. At Johnny L. Tenney
on
Twitter.
What about, is the cartoon show over?
We haven't put one out in a long time.
But you did a couple of those. I saw those, right?
We did about 15 or 20.
Okay, 15, that's a lot.
Because
I think last time you were on, show one was up for its cartoon.
Can we find that? Where can we find it?
YouTube.com/It's a Cartoon Show.
It's a Cartoon Show on YouTube.
John is the producer.
Yeah.
Of It's a Cartoon Show.
So that's his.
Starring Professor Z.
And what else can I tell you? We got some great shows coming up towards the end of the year. Our annual Best and Worst of TV show will be coming up.
Yep.
Also, the Assholes of the Year, the annual show that's going to be
sure.
So look for that in the next couple of weeks here on Joel Radio, and we'll catch you then, everybody.
We'll see
you
at the Studio A Comedy Cafe in Dearborn.
Oh, that's coming up before the end of the year.
Laugh Tracks in Novi.
There you go.
You'll see me on the side of the road trying to get a hand job in front of.
Those only happen in the stairwells of Woody's.
We'll be at Woody's.
I'll be at Woody's
stairwell.
Trying to get a handy. Yellowknife 2013.
Yeah, we're coming to Yellowknife.
We're the Stabble Stabble Tour. We're going to stab it up in Yellowknife.
We'll be there in the summer. That's 3 days in July. That's when we'll be there.
We're going to call it Three Whales in the Yellowknife. And, all right.
All right. See you, everybody. Good night. Thank you, John. That was a good show. Good show. Good show.